Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. I think we're on. Yeah, we are. All right, good deal. Good. We are here tonight, and we're not going to be on Zoom tonight. We're going to be on Zoom tomorrow night. Do the blood of the doorposts. The blood over the doorposts tomorrow night. And excited about that. So get ready. We're going to be ready for that. We tested our Zoom last night. Sorry, you guys, you got on the show last night. And anyway, we got a lot done, so we're really glad. We needed to make a test run with that, and that just was the way we did it. Worked out pretty good, actually. So it's really, really awesome. And anyway, if we missed out on you last night, we will catch you soon, I'm sure. All right. Everybody, we're going to go here. Give me a second here. Just a moment. I'll be right there. I want to share with you tonight a couple of things that have been kind of coming to me. That I would like to share. Give me a minute here. All right. Yeah. So the thing that God's been really speaking to me about more and more, and like I say, whenever I share things with you guys, I'm sharing with you things that God has given me, right? So you understand that. So I'm teaching you what I'm learning, and I'm teaching you how God is changing me, correcting me, and then I pass it on to you. There are sometimes things that I talk about that have nothing to do with me, but a lot of things do, and so I'm really glad to share that with you so you can kind of grow with me. We'll grow together. You guys share the same thing with me. We grow together, and we learn how to grow. Some people never really grow much for whatever reason. So what makes us grow the most? What causes us to really grow before the Lord, right? And one of those things is, the things that we do. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. Hang on a second here. Let me cold air with that. Go here and look at this for a second. First, it's in Isaiah 55. Jesus said it also, but Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, come, all you who are thirsty, and come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? So, and then John 7, talk about drinking here tonight. We're going to talk about drinking. And, John 7:37 says, on the last day of the feast that Jesus was at, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And Isaiah 55:1, I said, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Now, the reason that I want to talk about this tonight is because something God's been speaking to me about. We always talk about being, possibly dehydrated and don't know it. A lot of people are dehydrated and just don't know it, physically speaking. But I think a lot of people are dehydrated spiritually and just don't really realize it, right? So they drink, like in the natural realm. I've had people right here on the show, we talked about this many times, but I want to bring something spiritual into this that I think is really, really important for where we are. The reason people are dehydrated physically, and it took me a while to learn this, but it's because they're not drinking pure water, you know, or, you know, water, not Gatorade, not coffee, not juice, not things with what, not tea, lemonade, but just pure water, right? And that's what Jesus is saying here to me. I'm really getting something out of this particular thing, because he's really talking to me about this, about drinking water. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking Gatorade. Gatorade has good things in it, right? Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in it. And there is a time to drink Gatorade. So we're going to kind of liken Gatorade and other drinks that are good for you, but that are not water, as, you know, teachings that come from other people. You know, you have teachings that you get. We all have teachers. We have, you know, teachers all through the body of Christ. We have teachers here on PGN. We have teachers are important. Teachers teach us, and teachers that teach from the Word of God and teach by the Holy Spirit, you know, are very important, because the Holy Spirit is really the water. When Jesus said, come unto me and drink, he also talks about, you know, the truth, and the truth sets you free. So, but it's the truth that you receive, right? It's not just any truth. It's the truth that you receive. It's the truth that becomes real to you. And that's the real water. If you're getting real water, pure water, water from heaven, not Gatorade. Gatorade, it could be, you know, teachings from other really good teachers, people who teach the Bible and teach by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're drinking from their fountain, and it's kind of like drinking Gatorade. It's really great. It's good for you. But the doctors will tell you, I've had friends who have gone to the doctor, thought they were dying, and they did, you know, their bodies just shutting down. They couldn't figure out why their brain wasn't working very well. And went to the doctor and did massive research on them. Thank God for honest doctors. The doctor came back and said, honey, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, except you're dehydrated. Your system is drying out. And he says, just go home and drink water. That was it. Don't drink tea or have your tea, but make sure you drink your water. Always drink your water. You can drink tea anytime you want, but tea and water are not the same. Gatorade and water are not the same thing. And so what we're having is there's a time when you drink, you know, people have, there's minerals and different things, electrolytes that are in Gatorade that are really good for you. I don't personally drink Gatorade, but I drink other things. I drink pomegranate juice and, you know, stuff like that. And so it's really important that when Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, he was talking about getting water from him. Because if you don't get water from him, you're going to be thirsty, right? You're going to maybe drinking a lot of Gatorade, a lot of coffee, a lot of tea, a lot of drinks, whatever you're drinking, you know, but you're not drinking water. And when the body's not getting water, when your spiritual life is not getting water, it starts drying out. If they're not able to function right, your gifts, the gifts of God, don't work right. It's like in the physical body, when you are dehydrated, when you're not drinking water. You may be drinking a lot of stuff, but if you're not drinking water. Yeah, Jesus said, come unto me and drink. And he's talking about the water of life, and the pure water of life that is not mixed with anything else in it. It's pure water. And that's when God speaks to you personally, when you get things out of the Word for yourself. Now, you can get a lot of good things from teaching and learn a lot and grow and become strong and become healthy. But you're going to become the strongest and the most solid human being, Christian, when you drink from the water of the Spirit of God on a personal level, either personal prayer, personal revelation from the Word of God. You don't have to read a lot of the Bible to get, you know, drinks from the Word. You just need to get something out of what you drink, what you read, what you're listening to. And if you get something, if you're getting something out of it, it becomes water for you. And that water will nurture your body, your spiritual body, to where your spiritual body can function. Like in the natural realm, if you're not drinking plenty of water, not Gatorade, not tea, but just water, then your brain is not getting, you know, your brain is a lot of water. Your body's a lot of water, a whole lot of water, made of a large percent of water. And so if you're not, as the water comes out of your body through sweating, through urinating, or whatever you're doing, to the reach of your body, it needs to be filled back up with water. And so what happens if that's not going on, then you're, the parts of you that, that function wholly, mostly by water, don't function anymore. They just stop working. Same thing in the spirit realm. When we're not drinking pure water, not just good teaching from other people, we need those things. We need the Gatorade. We need the, you know, the juices, you know, that have stuff in it. It's really, really great. But to drink from the pure water of the Spirit of God. Now, you can listen to somebody's teaching if you flow Spirit of Revelation, which I think everybody can flow in the Spirit of Revelation and get revelation from God. When you are able to learn to flow in revelation from heaven and you learn to drink from the Spirit on a regular basis instead of just wholly upon the teaching of a human being, you know, that like Peter and all the disciples heard Jesus teach, he was a human being. Right? He was a human being. He wasn't the Spirit. He wasn't God the Father. He was the Son. He was a human being in flesh and blood. He was the Son of God. Walked in the earth. He you know, did all the things that you and I do. Went to the restroom. He slept. He ate. He, you know, I'm sure he had, you know, he belched and burped and, you know, whatever else goes on. He did all those things. He was a human being. And, but, you know, when he taught, he taught them, it was pure when he taught them, but when he told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, that was the water of the Spirit. And Peter learned to drink of the water of the Spirit, right? And so this is what I'm talking about tonight. Now, you know, like I say, you can listen to somebody's teachings, and if you flow in revelation, you can get water from their Gatorade. Right, you can get something like, you know, I know most of you probably do this too. I do it all the time. When I do listen to other preachers and teachers, which I love to do when I get a chance, is you know, they say things that, you know, I mean, I'll hear something completely different what they're talking about, but they provoke me to think about something, and I start thinking about it, and I got something, you know, maybe most of the time, so completely different from what they're talking about. But yet, had they not been teaching me, I would have maybe thought about that. So we learn from other people. You can get water from somebody else's Gatorade. Let's say they're, you know, a great teacher and they're serving Gatorade. It has electrolytes in it. It's good for your body, good for your spiritual body. You need it, good for you. But if you're not getting water, if you don't learn how to get that revelation from heaven, just like the other night, Daryl Paul asked me the question, you know, what about revelation? Are prophets the ones who get revelation, or does anybody get revelation? Everybody needs revelation. Ephesians talks about that. 1:18 says, Paul's talking about that, you know, I would that, you know, they he prayed that the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Christ Jesus would be for all people, right? So I believe that the spirit of revelation or the water of the Spirit, which you must have to live. You can't live off Gatorade, because you're going to find yourself eventually, take a little bit longer, but you're going to eventually dry out. Oh, what? I'm drinking plenty of Gatorade. I'm drinking plenty of stuff. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not, because when you're not drinking water in the physical realm, your brain quits working. Your heart doesn't work as well. Your system doesn't function, because it functions off water, not Gatorade, not tea, not drink, just water, pure water from heaven, from God. In that sense that it is, we are made for that. And so spiritually, we are the same thing. Or the gifts of the Spirit won't be functioning. If you're just drinking Gatorade all the time, you know, it's good, it's fine, it's wonderful, it gives you a lot of good stuff, but what we're learning from the medical industry and from scientists and people, that they're saying that if we don't have water, eventually, even though we're drinking a lot of stuff, we dry out. Parts of our body don't function because they're made to function with water. And they're not getting pure water, they're not going to function. They're going to stop functioning. And that's why a lot of people end up with diseases, because they're not drinking water. Like the woman, like the friend of mine, my pastor, one of my friends who was my pastor for 10 years, his mom is the one I talked about, who was, you know, getting up there in her 70s. And, you know, she went to the doctor and she said, I think I'm dying, you know. So he gave her, you know, a full-fledged test, an extra, you know, whole thing. And thank God he was honest. Back in, I think it was in Kilgore, Texas, or Longview, Texas. I don't know, it was the doctor there, but he checked her out, and sure enough, he said, "Ma'am," he said, "Honey, you know, you're healthy. It's just that you're all dried up, and your body's trying to stop functioning. Well, I drink tea. She argued with him. No, I drink tea. I drink water. I drink Gatorade. I drink. He said, dear, that's fine. Just add water to your diet. And she had a hard time drinking it. Because when you first start just trying to drink water, it's difficult to drink. If you've ever tried it before you got into it, you know, I can drink a lot of water. So it's easy. I can drink, you know, 2 16-ounce bottles of water. I can drink two of them in, you know, 30 seconds. Those are, you know, yeah, quick life. Because my body's got used to it. I'm used to it. My body, I found out that even though I probably drink a little too much sometimes, you know, I found out that I do better. I function better when I'm drinking my water. Right? Same thing spiritually. You need to get that water from God. When you're going to church and listen to a preacher, listen to a pastor, they may be serving some great Gatorade, maybe awesome. But you know what? You need to get the water from the Holy Spirit yourself. Let God begin to show you how to get revelation from heaven. Because when you start asking God, you know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. When anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him. So you need to start asking. That's how you begin this road to getting the water that you need, is you ask him, God, give me drink. Give me your water. Give me, I thirst for you. And so when you do that, guess what? God's going to answer you. He's going to answer you. If you'll learn what I'm learning to do, and it's been difficult to learn to do, the most simple things that I do, I'm learning to say, Holy Spirit, I know there's not much to just turning this knob and turning this thing on or working this thing. But if there's anything you want to show me about how to do it better and easier or what to do with it differently, then show me. I mean, the most simple thing you would think, that, you know, just, you don't need help with that, right? I'm learning how to draw from the water, from the well of Jesus in everything I do. You know, Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father. I don't know that if he asked him, you know, I don't know how, what he meant by that, but I can tell you what I'm beginning to get in my spirit and what God is teaching me is to ask him about everything. Everything. The computers, you know, I mean, he knows everything. Sometimes he guides me in things. I ask him to help me in something that I can't figure something out. And when I ask him to show me, you know, instead of just working and deciding I can do this, I can figure this out, I decide one day, I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, you know, I don't fast and pray about it. I just say, hey, Jesus, you know, I can't figure this thing out like I want to. I know it's got to be working better than this. What can we do to make this work better? And lo and behold, sometimes something will break down. Just happened the other day. Something broke down. This computer broke down on me. An older computer that Julius used, it kind of broke down on me, and I couldn't get into the system, right, to do the bookwork, right? So I'm going like, oh, my gosh, I just figured this Excel 13 thing out. By the grace of God, I started working it, and now I can't even get into the computer to do it. Devil, I bind. And I was all mad. The devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. And what the deal was, is that there was something else going on. Because what it made me do was seek ways to get that information off that hard drive on that old computer. Well, sure enough, I found, some of you may not know this, but I found a device for like $10 that you go down to the store and buy it, $10, and you can take the hard drive out of those PCs, those ones that I hate, that Bill Gates made, by the way, this one was a Toshiba, and I think a Windows 8 or 10 or something like that. And so I went in, opened it up, took the hard drive out, and took it down to the store. And the guy says, yeah, you can transfer this onto your Mac. I'm going, you can? He said, yeah, it's real simple. Just do this and that. And so pretty soon, friend, I found myself transferring everything. I didn't like that computer and all the bookwork we do. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of stuff, a whole lot of stuff. Julie did a whole lot of work on that stuff. And so, and following her patterns is making it easy for me, but I can't do it on her computer because that thing's so messed up, it's so jacked up, it's just horrible, right, in my opinion. And so I'm just frustrated. And all the midst of all that frustration, God was trying to, he knew that I didn't like that computer, and I don't think he likes them either, in my personal opinion. And so he's helping me get it on the Mac without me, so he didn't, I couldn't get into that computer the other day. I was trying to get on 2 or 3 days ago. Get on. You've got to try to get on too many times, and you know how it does you, blah, 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 and I couldn't get on. And I got frustrated, and I just started taking all the screws out of the back, and I'm Mr. Fix-It, you know, so I'm going to fix it. And I tried to put it back together and did fine with it, but it still wasn't working right, like, or working like I wanted to. I thought I reset the bypass, the password and all that kind of thing, and information the way you get in there. And that's when, you know, kablink, I got the idea, and I did research on it, sure enough. So even in my, you know, not being able to figure it out, I asked God, you know, to help me get this, make this book work easier for me, since now I'm going to be doing it all. And wow, I'm a Mac man, so I can't do it on another computer. It just does not work for me. So he showed me a way, and we got it on this one. It's amazing. And so now, you know, my whole frustration of even thinking about waking up, doing book work, and getting on that honky-tonk, you know, nasty old computer that this, to me, is horrible. And now we got it within about a three-hour period, I figured out how to get all that information on my Mac computer. Yeah, directly from that computer and from completely two different kinds of computers that don't even mix together on things, right? Yeah, it's for about $10. So if you guys want to know what that is, let me know and I'll tell you. It was by the grace of God I found it. So I'm trying to tell you something. That was water from the Holy Spirit for me. What did it do? It changed my whole thing. It wasn't just something I learned from somebody else. God led me and guided me because I asked him. I said, Lord, please, you know, help me do something other than that. And so what did he do? He worked it all out, even in a way that I almost thought, you know, things were getting worse, not getting better. But in the thing getting worse, God was making it for better. And literally, that's exactly what happened. He made it for better. So I'm thrilled about it. I'm excited about it. And so it's just a brand new thing for me. Now I'm ready, man. I got it right here in front of me. I can wake up in the morning or anytime I want to and do book work, you know, and send out all the right things and do it all right and do it good. And so I'm excited about that. So thank you for your prayers. Let's just really believe God to get us that water from the Holy Spirit to get, even when we're listening to PGN or listening to our favorite teachers and preachers on YouTube or Christian television or whatever we're listening to. When you learn how to have that asking God about every little detail, about every little thing, and not just take it for granted that there's not a better way to do something, that you think you've done it the best way that you can, you might find out. Just like with me with this computer thing, I thought, well, you know, at least I can get in there and I don't have to mess with it too much. I'll just put the information in, do the book work, and shut the thing down and not look at it until I have to. And then God had something completely differently in mind for me of getting everything on my Mac computer directly from that hard drive on that other computer and got it right directly into this computer. I mean, he did that. It was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So he gave me a drink. I mean, he gave me rest. He gave me peace. He gave me, you know, just in this kind of situation here, much less spiritual things, much less, you know, God helped me find things in my life that I want to change so I can shine brighter for you, like we talked about last night. I want to shine really bright. I don't know about you. I want to shine really bright for God. I don't want to have anything in my life, anything going on that's half-baked, that I'm not asking him enough about, that I'm doing too many things on my own because I can do it. And I'm going to find out that the things that I can do, and I spend up to 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours a week doing that, just one little thing, that when I ask God to show me how to do it, I spend 30 minutes a week instead of 8 hours a week. And this is what's happening to me. This is what happened. So what God is doing, he is causing me to, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, because I'm finding, instead of taking for granted that I can fix this, I can do this. In fact, every time I find myself just trying to put it together, and I go, oh, wait a minute, Jesus, help. Even though I could probably put it together and get it together in an hour or two, when it's a lot, he can have me, help me, he shows me things, helps me put things together, and I can do it in, you know, 30 minutes, rather than spending 2 or 3 hours on it, 30 minutes. So it's truly amazing, and it's basically one simple thing. You have not because you ask not. There's just way too many things, friend, that we do just thinking, you know, like some of you in your job and your business, we have people who do all kinds of things. You know, if you can learn to try to catch yourself when you're trying to do something on your own, you know, you only ask God about the hard thing, right? And start finding yourself asking him about everything, like how do I drink this water better? What do I do? What do I do to enhance my life in my food realm? How do I cook? How do I eat? How do I brush my teeth? You know, all these things that we think we do, we might be able to find that God just may have an idea for you that may make everything easier and work better, make you healthier and happier in a lot less time. Yeah, we're going to work less and get a whole lot more done. Get rewarded a whole lot more with a lot less time and effort. Literally, instead of sweating, we're going to learn not to sweat. And what's the sweat realm is coming because it is what God is showing you, that the sweating realm, the straining, the striving, the anxiety realm, is that I'm finding myself asking him, like I said, about every detail of everything. Sometimes things are so simple, I still forget to ask him for it. And I'm learning to do that too. Do I even need to be doing this? You know, show me how to do this better. Is there a better way, or is there another way that I can get it done without doing all this? Is there a way to do all this stuff without doing all this stuff? Literally, ask the Lord. Is there a way to do all this thing that I spend 2 or 3 hours doing that I don't have to do all this stuff to get the job done? And I guarantee you, friend, this is the blessing from heaven that God wants us to have. Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. He drank from the well of his Father all the time. Right? He depended on his Father all the time, not on himself, not on others, but on his Father. When Jesus told Peter, my Father gave you that drink, my Father revealed that to you, that's the key, friend. The key is the Father showing you, the Father revealing it to you. All right, so that's what we're talking about tonight, and trying to get that downloaded into your heart, maybe help you understand a little bit more of what I'm learning. I'm trying to learn it. I take communion about it. God, help me remember, instead of spending an hour doing something, which may not be long when you got all day long, but if you can knock that hour down to, you know, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, you get the same thing done easily without sweating, and then you have more time to do other things. Man, this is where the blessing's at, y'all. This is what God has shown me. It's just a simple thing of we think that we don't need to ask about that because I got this figured out. Well, maybe, just maybe, we don't have it figured out from the light of God. We're doing this stuff, and because they trained us to do this computer work this way or do this book work this way or do this thing this way, whatever it is, and then we, like, serving God, worshiping God, what's the best way to worship you? I know they teach us to do this and do that. Show me how to worship you. Show me how to get into your presence instead of spending 30 minutes working through my flesh. Show me how to just enter right in. Show me, God. And friend, he wants to do that more than you realize. Come unto me, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters and drink. I'm telling you, this may sound really simple, but it is simple. It's easy, but it is absolutely amazing that, you know, I thought I should have learned this a long time ago, you know, and I'm just seeing, so why is it necessary to ask God about every little thing? Because the things that we think we know, there may be a way to do it without having to spend the time we do doing it and get it done and get it done better. Sometimes we may cut out about half the things that we're doing and go right to the source of the thing and get it done, you know, without having to jump through all these hoops. All right. I told you all my hair's going in like crazy. I know people, that's just vanity. You know, it's not to me. Because I said, God, if you gave it to me, you know, what do I want to let the enemy or genetics or whatever take it away from me? Why am I going to do that? I'm not going to do that. Yeah, you know, Elijah had some emotional issues from letting his hair fall out. You know, he was bald-headed. Did y'all know that? Yeah, he had some issues with that. Anybody familiar with what I'm talking about? Elijah? Yeah, Elijah was bald-headed. He was a slickhead. And let me get this. I'm going to finish up with this. We're going to start doing our callers. I'm gonna turn y'all into this. All right. I want you to watch this. This is kind of funny. I think kind of a joke, sort of, but I think it's really right on. Now, y'all knew Elijah was bald headed, right? So I'm gonna kind of give you my revelation on going bald. Just on the side note, it's not going to cost you anything. Okay, hang on a second here. All right. I think you're gonna love this. I hope you're gonna love it. Anyway, this is in 2 Kings. I found it right here. I got it. 2 Kings 2:23. There's three twos in it. 2 Kings 2:23. All right. Look at this thing. You can tell Elijah had issues because he's bald. If he'd had my way of doing it and thinking, you know. Because baldness has been a genetic thing, you know, all the years. Some people just lose their hair, some don't, some go bald. Some people just expect it, right? Well, you know, I just decided, I think Elijah's cool, by the way. I'm not going to criticize Elijah too much. But talk about this just for a second, because I deal with this, and maybe some of you do deal with it too. Elijah was bald-headed, right? Okay, so this is going to show you he has some emotional trauma from it, all right, from being bald. Watch this. All right. 2 Kings 2:23. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel, and as he was walking up the road, a group of boys came out of the city and jeered at him, you know, mocked him, chanting at him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." Then he turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and suddenly two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. Now, y'all, I don't know about y'all, but I think that's unnecessary. I think that's a little bit unnecessary right there. Elijah's got, you know, I'm kind of playing with this a little bit, right? But yet, I don't know. But look what happened. I mean, they come out and they jeered it for being bald-headed. It can't be used to being bald-headed. What's wrong with being bald-headed? You want to be bald-headed? You're bald-headed? Whatever, right? I personally don't want to go there. And so I think that God is helping me not do that. And it's truly fun and truly amazing. Some of the things I'm learning. But Elijah, you know, has 42, at least 42 boys come out from the city, and they mock him. They laugh at him. Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. I mean, they were calling him the bald head. And he got mad. He turned around and looked at them and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And suddenly two female bears. Sorry. Okay.
Siri here.
Yeah.
I figured as much.
Okay. Yeah, Elijah just performed some miracles, which is really amazing. You read that whole thing; it's pretty cool. And then Elijah is going down the road, and these kids come out, and they say, "Go up, you bald head." And he turned around and cursed them. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys, verse 24. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. I try to picture that. I mean, I could be a slickhead if it wasn't for the grace of God. And would I do that? If some kids came out and started mocking me, 42 of them, would I curse them in the name of the Lord? I don't know. I don't think so. But it may be something else to it. But, hey, y'all, I mean, you got to think about this. Be glad that none of y'all made fun of me trying to grow my hair back. Yeah, because that's not good. We're happy about it. We're glad about it. It's really cool. All right, so if you've learned, the bill has passed for gold-backed currency in Texas, in case you haven't heard it yet. I'm going to give you some of the news here. It was actually passed. I have the bill right in front of me from the Congress, from the Texas Congress. DeRazio is the one who wrote it up. It is a done deal, y'all, a done deal. We prophesied about that a while back, and I don't think anybody knew they were doing it. I'm not sure they were doing it at the time. I don't know whether they were not, because I don't know the background of all of it, but there it is. Prophetic word coming to pass, y'all. It's gonna be ready to go in September the 1st. Yeah, gonna go be ready to go September the 1st. So I am excited about that, and the word of the Lord is going to pass. And this is something that's going to, this is end time stuff right here. This is end time stuff. If you want the document, let me know, and I'll send it to you, or at least get you the information when you get to it. But I actually have the actual document in front of me here. So it's HB number 4903, a bill entitled An Act Relating to the Establishment of Digital Currency Backed by Gold. Yeah. Yeah, it's right here. And it's going to be, they're going to be able to use it. The first day of use it is the first day of September, which is right around the corner. Y'all realize this is right around the corner. And the timing is pretty good. So you know, people learn how to use it, and hopefully they'll get a hold of it. And when the crash happens, they'll be glad they have it. Well, not probably not right away the crash happens, they'll be glad to have it. But the One World System, the One World System is going to begin to do its thing. The crash is a man-made thing. It is man-made this time. That's what God showed me in a dream several years ago, 2011, I think. Yep, man-made. And so the first one wasn't. The housing market, that was a natural disaster. I mean, it could have been, you know, men doing the wrong thing. But it wasn't orchestrated by people on purpose. This one, this crash is orchestrated by the giants, you could say, by the giants. So you need to know that, you need to understand that, and it is orchestrated by men. So the purpose of it is for the One World System, and once the crash happens, then it will begin to develop rather quickly. I don't have a timing on that. I don't have a clue when that's going to be exactly enacted, but I'm sure God will tell us. I guess he will. We'll see. I don't really know. I can't tell God what to tell me. He just tells me whatever he wants. Right. I can't demand God to tell me. I never do demand God to tell me words. I never do that. I never do. God, tell me, you know, sometimes I'll, in areas where he already speaks to me, like at the market, I may say, are you mad at me or something? Yeah, I'm talking about the market right now. The market seems to be having a problem. Is there a problem? You know, I've done that before, but most of the time I don't ask. You know, so I don't know anything other to do than just wait. But sometimes, you know, I do ask him off and on. Is there something you're not telling me, or something I'm not listening to him? But usually, when God wants to speak to you, friend, especially if you have a mantle or in one area of your life. Because of that mantle, you're going to definitely get connected to it, right? It's just like having a bank account, and they put money into your bank account, it automatically will show up. As long as you have that bank account and that, you know, money coming to you, and they have your account number. It's the same thing with God. When he gets ready to put something in your account for you to know about, it just shows up one day. You know, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you know something's up. You don't know exactly what. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. No Zoom tonight. I sent out a text today saying no Zoom. We'll do Zoom tomorrow. We're going to do Blow the Door Post tomorrow. Thank you for praying with me about that. We will do Zoom tomorrow. So if you don't know how to use Zoom, if you get Zoom, try to download Zoom on your phone and your computer if you can. Zoom. I've never had it before. Some of you already had it on your phone and some of your computers. I haven't had it on either thing. Never used it. So this is brand new to me. It is now done. We have an account, $150 for a year, which is really good. And then we can buy up to 9 licenses with that, under that. So very, very, very cool. All right, what else do I want to talk about before I take callers? The currency thing passed. It's going to be available September the 1st, which is right around the corner. When is September? It's going to be what, a week and 2 days? Yeah, that's a week and 2 days is the 1st. September the 1st is on a Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday. and that gold currency will be available. And I think it's great, great timing. Pretty cool. You know, people can learn to start using it and all that. And, yeah, so when, like they say themselves, now they said this, not me, they said that, yeah, when the system decides to shut us down, we'll have our own currency. But here's the thing, they're going to have their own way of transacting that through some type of separate internet. I don't understand all that stuff, but I know they're going to have it, okay? All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. And know that Zoom, we will have Zoom tomorrow night. I will be sending you a link on Zoom. So get it downloaded on your computer, if you would, if you don't already have it, and on your phone. That way you can watch the Blood of the Doorpost tomorrow. We will do it live. We'll do it live. You go to the website. You click on the little camera on I'll send you also the PGN website address. If you don't have that and you'd like it, let me know. Because you're going to go to the PGN website. You click on the little icon, the camera at the top right. You'll see it up there. And you click on that, and that will take you right to the Zoom live video that we're going to be doing. I think it's about a 30-second delay, something like that. But it works. Okay? All right. Here we go. Let's take callers now. Thank you very much. All right. 202-722. Who am I talking to, please?
Hey, Brother Randy, it's Daryl, Paul, and Nicole from Maryland, D.C.
All right, awesome. Good to have you guys tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your service tonight, God, that seek your face and seek your will. And thank you, Lord, that you give an understanding, the spirit of understanding. And thank you, Lord, for Daryl, God, that you give him that the strength not be afraid to ask you for everything and all things, you know, like some of the things, I feel like some of the things that belong to you have been robbed from you, not necessarily from people, you know, and maybe people doing it, being used of the enemy, but there's been things that have been, that belong to you that maybe nobody even knows about physically that God's going to repay you with and bring back into your life. As you honor God and do what God says, and obey, learning more and more how to obey him, like we all do, then you're going to find some things that have been taken from your genetics. It could have been, you know, many years ago. I don't know. But God's going to, as you obey him, he's going to restore it back to you and increase you. Yeah. So get ready for that. All right, Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Nicole tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for giving her that knowing, God, that all things are possible to those that believe, and that you are activating her account for the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of revelation as she seeks you in your word and seeks you in what your word means for today, what your word means for now. Because what I've seen, Nicole, is God opening up things for you from the word, and I know he already does that, but that he will open up more for you what this means for today, or, you know, not today like Wednesday, but today like in, you know, the next few years. Like this scripture applies to the next few years. You know, God giving it to you that clear, giving things to you where you at least sense and feel like this is going to happen. This is going to be like for our, in the next, you know, few months, in the next few years, a very short time, in other words. Show you things that are for today. Today, if you'll hear my voice, you know, give us this day our daily bread, you know, and give us, you know, show you things that are for today, right? So that it's a prophetic thing, but it's also from the Word of God. And open that up to her, God. Reveal that to her, Jesus. And she seeks you for that more and more of the time. She asks for wisdom, you're going to give her wisdom. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right. 769-220. Who want to talk to you from, please? I think this is Chris and Andrika. Make sure to send me a text here. All right. This is Chris and Andrika. Or as I know. Okay, Chris and Andrika tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Chris and Andrika. Thank you, Jesus, for the vision you've given them to have life together, to to learn to think together, learn to think differently even, and find out how those each different thought process they go through is a piece of the puzzle that Enrico have a piece of the puzzle that will be a different way of thinking about something. It will be shaped differently. It will look differently. But it will fit with the thought process and the thinking that Chris has, guys, with those things that they have together will fit together like a puzzle fits, that each person will have their own, you know, thoughts and process that may look different. It will look different. It will be different in some ways, but it fits together like a piece of a puzzle. You have two pieces of the puzzle, as you know, and they're totally shaped, you know, just really different, totally different, but they fit together in the right place at the right time. In the right way. And so I thank the Lord for that you're teaching them how to let their thoughts come together. Because when God says once it's 1,000, two it's 10,000, that means that one of the things that means is that their thoughts begin to work together so that they can think about something instead of getting, you know, 1,000 of these things, you get, you know, 10,000 of them because you put your thinking together, you know. And sometimes, you know, one piece of puzzle may be smaller than the other piece of puzzle, but they fit together to make something work, to reveal something. So thank you, Lord, for all the different pieces of puzzle, the different thoughts and things. Let them see how what they, even though their thoughts may be different and look different and feel different and literally be different, because pieces of puzzle that are the same, they're not going to fit together, right? They have to be different. So I thank you, Lord, for that, opening them up to that, Jesus, where they can one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 in their thoughts fitting together in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. All right. All right. 6-8-6-3-6-0-5. We are talking very friendly.
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you please pray for Destiny and Stephanie?
For who? Destiny and Stephanie?
Yes, please.
Okay, yes. Absolutely. Okay. Destiny and Stephanie. Stephanie and Destiny. I'm going to get it right. Stephanie and Destiny. Wow. Try to say that real quick. Much of time. All right. I'm going to write that down just because even though I know it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie and Destiny. God, we thank you for Stephanie tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, that as they grow, they find that there's things change when your genetic code begins to activate. Different things happen. Things that you didn't used to struggle with, you now struggle with. Things that were easier for it, not so easy for you to do, now they're easier for you. So there's the negative and the positive part of how that as you grow and mature, like a child, when you're a child, a lot of your you know, DNA stuff, your genetics aren't kicked in. They're not developed. They're not activated. They're not. You know, so some of those things create problems. Some of those things create great opportunities. They bring answers, right? Like some of the things when I grew up, the older I got, especially in the ability to play ball and that kind of thing. You know, when I was younger, my genetic code, my muscles, they weren't working all well together. But as I grew and I matured, they began to function, and then I became, you know, much better at playing sports. I used to be really bad at them, and then became, you know, a lot better. And so that's because so as things activate, as things change, you learn to make adjustments with, you know, like sometimes, you know, some people have things activate in their genetic code that are from, you know, negative things from their father or their mother, you know, and that's why mothers and fathers need to tell their children, you know, I used to have a problem with this kind of thought process. You know, some people have problems with suicide. Some people have problems with, you know, just emotional trauma or whatever the thing is. And sometimes that's why parents need to tell their children, you know, as you get older, you may find yourself, like I did, I found myself, you know, having problems with certain things. So sure enough, they get older and they start finding out they have some of those issues. But it would give them hope. We tell them, you know, through Christ Jesus, you can overcome those things. You know, things that my father had that were issues, things my father had that were blessings. And same thing, my mom had things that were great. My mom had things that were problems. You know, we all do. And so thank you, Lord, as Stephanie and Destiny both begin to increase and grow in age and in life, God, that you show them how to overcome, show them how to, not feel like they're in bondage to those things that are passed down to them genetically. We all have them. We all get them. It's just a thing that happens. We don't do something bad to get them. They're already there, and sometimes they get activated without us, you know, sometimes through the process of life, sometimes through things that we do or don't do, things get activated. So teach them how to deal with their genetic inheritance and how to know that in Christ Jesus, there's nothing that we can't get set free of, right? We should keep seeking God and asking God. And so, Lord, I thank you for that, and Jesus, thank you for both of them. Amen. And so they can be overcomers all the way, Jesus, and be the next generation of overcomers, and that they will overcome things that her mama and her daddy maybe struggled with for a long time. It finally made it. They can make it quicker. They can grow faster. They can do better because they, as mothers and fathers who have knowledge of Christ, will teach them and tell them, hey, you know, you can overcome this stuff. I did. It took me a little longer, but you can do it quicker. You know why? Because you have knowledge that I'm going to give you. And we add knowledge to their knowledge and equip them so they can overcome those things faster and not walk in the same traps. Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles. I would think for Nikki that, God, you give her the grace to humble herself. If she humbles herself, sometimes we come in situations where we humble ourselves. You know, I've watched people who suffer recently in my life. And I've watched them become humble in areas I'd never seen them be humble in. Not that they were arrogant. They just weren't really humble in it. They were just kind of like regular, you know. And through their suffering, they became humble. I mean, it was scared me. I'm going like, who is this person, you know? Like, wow. I mean, it was like, you know, almost like a saint in some ways, in some areas, not all areas, but other areas. So, you know, and so things that we suffer in, like Paul the Apostle said, that thorn in the flesh, was to humble him, right? Yeah. So, God, I thank you for all the things that you're bringing in Nikki's life that bring her to a new, beautiful level of humility. Because the Bible says, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth, and when we humble ourselves before God, he will exalt us in due season. So the importance of being humbled before God and through the circumstances of life, and not instead of becoming unbroken, we become broken, or we become more yielded, more humble, is so that we can be exalted. God has broken me many different ways, and when he did, I ended up being more humble. You know, I didn't think I needed to be that humble. I'm not arrogant and prideful, but I guess I was more than I thought, and didn't know it. And so through situations, God began to work humility in me. And when he did, I began to inherit things, you know, spiritually from God. And, you know, blessed is our meek, for they shall inherit. And when we humble ourselves, God exalts us in due season. He begins to exalt you in the spirit realm. Yeah, because he brings us through things that humble us, right? And, boy, I want to be humble like Jesus, because Jesus didn't miss out on anything. All right, and for Charles, thank you both for Charles. God, that he doesn't come short of the glory of God, but he finds himself not coming short of what the glory means. Coming short of the glory means that we don't come short of the purposes, and that God has so much for us to do that we don't start compromising and yielding to the flesh and to think the world that tell us we're limited on this and limited on that, and that's never going to happen, and it's never going to happen. And though it may take years for some things to happen, you know, we still look at the possibility that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. So we don't come short of the glory, or short of the glory for you, Charles, is the purpose of God in your life, that you don't come short of it, that you fulfill it completely, because the more you fulfill it, the more blessed you're going to be in every way. So thank you, Lord, that Charles is not going to come short of the glory, short of the glory, short of the glory. He's going to fulfill purpose in his life in Jesus' name, not to come short of anything in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So let's go here to 402-650. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John in Melissa in Omaha.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John's obedience, God, that you teach him how to obey you in everything. Because every time we don't obey the Lord, we end up, you know, coming lacking something. Lack. When we obey the Lord, you know, blessing, or fulfillment. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've given John a desire to be fulfilled by you, and not by the world, not by things, not by stuff, but by you. And when you fulfill him with things, when you fulfill him with, you know, stuff that he needs or whatever, that when you do that, then he knows that you gave it to him, you blessed him with it. So it doesn't make him sorrowful or, you know, knowing that he got this the wrong way, you know, through manipulation of man and through healing demon, but you got it through the Lord Jesus. Hang on a second. All right. And, John, that your obedience is what, you know, we're saved by grace. There is no obedience to being born again. It's just a matter of, well, we obey God in our heart, right? We trust him in our heart. It's not a physical thing that we do, but it's in our heart. So when you obey God in your heart, you know, but then we move from obedience in our heart to obedience to God every day, and we do that, you know, God begins to open up doors. Sometimes it takes time, but when God opens up doors, it may take sometimes the longer it takes to open up a door, the bigger the door is, but we may not realize how big it is. We may think it's just like, oh, it just looks shallow. It looks, you know, it's better than nothing, but when you start seeing that, you know, that door is open, that in our obedience, we tap into the power of the full blessing to be raised up completely and fully in the thing. I mean, sometimes it doesn't look like we're going to be raised up. Sometimes it doesn't look like things are going to happen. Sometimes it doesn't look like, you know, we're going anywhere with this thing. It's just kind of like a, you know, can move this and move that and all of a sudden give us favor and change everything overnight. I've had it happen with me, not a whole lot of times, but a few times, and so it's been amazing how things can just change overnight. Why? Because we're obeying God. We're obedience is getting you in the right place at the right time. That when the miracle happens, or when the breakthrough happens, you're there, you're available. You didn't quit, you know, 3 days before it broke through. All right, you weren't somewhere else doing something else. You stayed with what God told you to stay with, because staying in what God tells you to stay in. The blessing was there the whole time, but it was hidden. Didn't look like much, and all of a sudden it breaks open. Like Joseph, his obedience didn't seem like it was getting him anywhere, but, you know, trouble. And then all of a sudden, one day, boom, just like that, he was raised up. Yeah, because he was in the right place at the right time. Yeah, Jesus' name. And with Melissa, God bless Melissa. God give her health. Let her see that you want God wants. When you start seeing that God wants you to be healthy in every area, that means even financially, that you can start asking for that with faith and start believing for God for that by faith. And when we ask in faith, we live in faith, we have an expectation of faith from God, from God's word, then it happens. First it's a seed, and then it grows up, seed time, and then harvest. It takes time. The real stuff takes time. But when it comes big time. It's like Joseph, when it came like one day, like boom, he went from prison, no hope. The guy forgot about him, didn't tell, you know, then all of a sudden one day he's being called up, you know, it's like, I'd love to see the look on his face when they came in there and said, you're going to come before Pharaoh. He's going like, maybe this is my moment. And it was amazing. All right. 804-218, you want to talk to your friend, please? Hit a 421A, are you there? All right, it's Angie from Virginia. Thank you, Lord, for Angie. God, we thank you, Lord, for giving her that fellowship that she needs, that connection, those connections that she needs, Father, from just people, from just, you know, we're made to fellowship. We're made to be a part of people's lives. We're made to intertwine with people. We're made for that. And to bring health and healing and hope to people. I thank you, Lord, that you bring her to a whole other level of health and hope to people's lives. You know, in every kind of way, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Say, God, you're making Angie in a way that she can be all things to all people, whether she just connects them to those things or she becomes those things to them through the wisdom, the knowledge you're giving her. To get people at least on the right path of thinking right. Sometimes sometimes God uses us just to get people on the right path of thinking. We don't have to show them everything, get them on the right path. They kind of start getting the general idea that what I've been doing is wrong and what the thing that God wants me to do is right. And get them on that path of doing that. Once they're on that path, then, you know, they walk on their own. So sometimes God uses us for that. And we may not see the fruit for a while, but God always rewards us, not for the fruit of the people, but for our obedience to doing what he's telling us to do. We will see the fruit in the labors. So Lord, I thank you for the fruit, for the blessing, for the produce, for the gifts and the talents and the ability you've given her, God, to unravel them and help her in her, just like you're teaching me how to do. I ask you about every little thing. I'm learning to ask you about every little thing, even taking a shower. I mean, you know, everything, you know, you taught me things, taking a shower, how to get out of there faster, you know, or be able to relax more, you know, and be able to relax more and get more done quicker. I mean, just simple things like that. It's amazing. I could maybe write a little chapter in a book on some of the things he's taught me that I've done all my life, that all of a sudden, you know, the way he showed me how to do it just made taking a shower easier and more fun, more relaxing, right? And, yeah, so it's amazing when we ask him, as you know, about God, about everything. I mean, stop and ask him about everything. You've been doing things in the bathroom for years, but you might ask God, is there a better way to do this? You might be surprised, you know, combing your hair, doing your hair, doing your body, whatever you're doing. You know, the things you've been used to, just ask God about all of it. How do I do this better? Is there a better way to do this? Or do I need to do it at all? Or how do we do it to make it better and make it, you know, easier? And we ask him about everything. Jesus said, I do nothing except what I see my Father do. Do nothing. I think nothing's pretty close to nothing. In other words, he learned to everything he did. I mean, everything he did, he depended on the Father. Everything. Yeah. So when he says everything. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Hang on a second here. Give me a second here. Okay. Okay, give me just a minute. I'll be right back. And I think it's, you know, just kind of doing this thing of, you know, asking God about everything. It's something God's been teaching me, and I'm finding that there's a lot of things that I've been doing, you know, that everyday things, just stuff that he's showing me how to do it easier, faster, and better. And it's amazing when God gets involved in your everyday things that we're used to knowing, you know, we've been doing it for years, we already know how to do them, right? We think God says, hey, I can show you a better way. And it's been amazing, really amazing. So anyway, there you go. All right, 803-991.
Hi, Randy, San Angelo, South Carolina.
Hey, Andrew. All right, good evening. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for Angela. God, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for baptizing her in the Holy Ghost and fire, and ministering the Holy Spirit to her and angels and delivering your word to her, where she will. She will be able to, instead of asking, you know, give us this day our daily bread, she's going to ask, give us this day my daily ideas. Give me this day your daily ideas, Lord. Give me this day your daily ideas. Give me this day your daily idea on how I do things, how I don't do things, who I talk to, who I don't talk to. You know, yeah. My yoke is easy, walking into the easy realm. And easy means not that we're lazy and don't do things, you know. And I know you already know that, but I got to say it for some people. It's not about being lazy. It's about going back to the Garden of Eden where everything was blessed. You know, God showed him how to do everything. He came down to the garden. What do you think he was doing? I mean, he was showing him how to do stuff. He was explaining things. This herb is for that, this tree. And he would explain to them you know, like they were his favorite children, right? Adam and Eve. He would explain to them why he made those things and how they work. And, you know, it's just amazing. And so that's, you know, he came down daily and he gave them daily ideas, his ideas of how he made things, why he made them. And so the curiosity God's given you for knowing why, what, how, when, and let me see, you know, the way you think is exactly what God wants us to do. He wants you to do that. So asking God for those, give us this day our daily bread ideas, then he's going to start giving them to you every day. Every day you're going to find, as you go along, God's going to give you ideas every day. Every day. I'm talking about in some form or another, at some degree, some maybe little thing, maybe big thing, but all those little things are going to add to really a lot more time, a lot more ease in life, a lot more blessings. You're going to find yourself being blessed easily, working less, doing things that, because you're asking God about every little, you know, and it's kind of a message tonight, basically, I think. But as you do that, give us this day our daily idea. I've never told anybody that before. That's a brand new thing. Give me this day our daily ideas, your daily ideas, God, on how I do things, how you want things done. But it's not about how we want to do things, right? It's about we're doing everything for him. And he gives us ideas because he knows that what we're doing for him, hey, man, there's a really good, easy, fast, blessed way to do this thing where you can get, you know, 100% done and 100% less time almost, you know, like boom, 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 done. So thank you, Lord, for that. Give us this day our daily ideas. Yeah, that would be a good book, by the way. And that's for you. I mean, I've never told anybody this before, so give us this day our daily ideas. Wow. Awesome. That's really cool. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that, for my sister God tonight, in Jesus' name, that you know, as she learns how to fellowship with you more and more and more and find different ways to connect to your voice, to connect to your presence, to connect to your information, your daily ideas, that she will find herself connecting with people that she's never been able to connect with because, you know, for some reason, I just never could connect with that. I like them, but I never could connect with them. Being able to connect with people that you've never been able to connect with. And, like, why was I able to connect with them before? Because, you know, God is giving you ideas and things on, and it's breaking down every wall that's messing with you and setting you up to, Angela says, yes, that is daily ideas. Yeah. Really, really cool. You know, I think I just realized right now when I look at your text that there you go. Yeah, that is daily ideas. Next book. Yeah. Give us a stay. You know, I never thought about that. I mean, it just came to me just now, honestly. So, hang on a second here. Okay, Angela, really, really cool. Give us our daily bread, our daily ideas. I mean, it's hot off the press, man. I love this stuff. That's why I love the prophetic. You never know what's going to come out of your mouth. You never know. I mean, if people really listen closely sometimes, I think that maybe they get more out of it, but I know many do, but some could listen a little bit closer because God speaks. I mean, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit does this. I don't know how it works. I don't sit there and try to figure it out. We just talk and go, and God gives it, and we go, right? So obviously you're doing something right, girl, because he's obviously talking to you about several different things. You're communicating with people, you know, all that. It's really big. It's what he's doing with me the last few years. My communication skills with people on a daily basis. People I don't really know, but I can just walk into a place and the clerk and say hello, and pretty soon, you know, I'm friends with them, you know. And I'm like, I didn't used to be able to do that. I always be nice to people. I always like people, but I never really was able to have a conversational time with them, maybe have a little fun with them or whatever, and just, you know, and they just, I walk away and they go like, who was that guy? And that was awesome, you know, because Jesus just showed me how to communicate with people. It's really been amazing, and I'm starting to just really like my new self a lot because of what God's done in my life. It's really been beautiful. I'm so thankful. All right, Angela. All right, God bless. All right, 847-834. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. Right, good to have you, Marja. All right, thank you both for those creative ideas with her, God. Given her those creative ideas. You know, creative ideas, Marja, are ways to do things that we haven't thought of before. You know, creative ideas are ideas that come to us that we hadn't thought of. You know, well, I just never thought about that. I say that all the time. You know, honest to God, my friends will tell you, Randy's always saying, yeah, you know, never thought about that before. Because it's the truth. And especially the more we give things away, the more we have a giving spirit, you know, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about, you know, everything that we do. I love just giving things away. Give, and give love, give friendship, give. You know, and the more you give away, Marja, the more God gives you creative ways on how to give your life away to others, right? How to give your friendship, how to give your love. And the more I learned how to do that, the more friends I got, the more people said, you know, I now, you know, am learning how to, you know, have different friendships, people that I would have never been befriended before. I just get a walk up, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Always be nice to him, but not really connect. I mean, now he has me connecting with people. So God's going to give you creative ideas on how to connect, how to get people's attention with a God idea. Because God wants to get people's attention, Mark and Marja, and he wants you to do that and get their attention on you, because you're going to be helping them with whatever they need, right? Or lead them where they can get help, whatever they need. And so what's he going to do? He's going to give you ideas on how to connect, how to connect. And the Holy Ghost connect, you know, yeah. So Lord, open up her mind, open up her heart, God. Give her those creative ways on how to prosper, how to be blessed, so that money will just come in easy. You know, money will flow in easily. Give her creative ideas on how to just let it happen, right? Give her ideas on how to, just know it's going to happen. You know when you know her, that's going to happen. And just start, you know, learning to live from your knower instead of from your, oh, I wonder, you know, like we all do. You know, we all live from that thing. I wonder when. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's a greater level is to know that you can know things. You know, I know it's going to happen. So, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to, you know, easier said than done, right? It takes time to hear from God and you just let it go. Sometimes hearing from God is a process. You work it through your brain so that it helps you let go of it. So you believe God. Sometimes believing God is a process that he speaks to us or he gives us an idea and we work it in until finally we let go of the worry or the fret or the, you know, or whatever, the anxiety of the thing. And so, because there's always things, Mark, that we are working on overcoming. You know, and sometimes it takes creative ideas from God to overcome them. You know, how do I quit thinking like that? How do I not let that thought in so that it takes up all my time and my energy? I mean, I have stuff that goes on. I can be overwhelmed in a moment with, oh, my God, you know, this is coming up. I got to do this, this, that, this. And if I kind of panic a little bit, then, you know, not much gets done. But if I, you know, just get a hold of myself and say, okay, Jesus, Give me a creative idea on how to deal with this. And if I will wait and listen for a second or two or a minute or two, you know, my brain will relax. I'll quit worrying. I'll quit fretting about that particular thing. And just like Jesus sweat with it, as the Lord great drops of blood, because the battle that we just, when you're in your battle, you start like you're sweating bullets, man. Jesus did the same thing. Didn't mean he was a warrior. But he did have anxiety. He did have things that tried to come against him. He just learned how to you know, wait on God and trust God to give him ideas on how to, you know, get through it or overcome it or whatever. Yeah. So I thank you, Lord, for that with Marge in Jesus' name, to prosper her, to bless her, give her ideas on how to just let money come in, let finances come in, let things increase, let things multiply. Just let them. No, you don't have to push and force and shove and pray real hard and believe God. You know, it's God's will. It is God's will to bless you. And to know that is what allows you to just let it happen instead of trying to make it happen. Let it happen. Mary said, let it be done unto me. Of course, to the angel that told her, Gabriel just told her, you know, you're gonna be carried the Son of God in your womb. She went, I don't have a man as you. He said, yeah, you don't need one. You know, yeah. And she went, okay, well, let it be done. However this works on her. It's the normal process to get a husband, right? In this process, it's like God was doing something special. And she just said, let it be done. So in the supernatural realm, Mark, that's what you have to just let it be done, let it be done, let it be done. Really cool. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to, company?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, you know, by the way, I know that you, but as I heard your voice, I heard the word spontaneous. God, you know, moving you more and more and more into the spontaneous realm of, I know you already are, and you already do to a certain level, but I see you developing that in other areas of life where, in other areas of your faith, in other words, areas of your believing, other areas of your, what you're, you know, believing God for, and do spontaneous things. You know, do spontaneous things. It's like sometimes I find myself doing things. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it going, and the whole time I'm going, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden I realized that because my spont part of me took over and did that, you know, have a spontaneous part of me. Spontaneous part of me. It just kind of takes over and does stuff. I go, wow. I sit back and watch it going, man, it's amazing. And so it's amazing when the spontaneous part of you is your spirit man. That's seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? The born-again part of you that's totally recreated. And he's just spontaneous, man. He's just like, he doesn't worry about things. He just kind of goes wherever. And he knows that everything's good, everything's fine, everything's, you know, wonderful. And he just kind of does things spontaneously. Your spirit man is a spontaneous part of you. Your soul, your mind wants to figure it out. Your mind wants to work it through. Nothing wrong with that when it's done right, but your spirit man just knows. When Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, Chris, he's talking about your spirit man. Your spirit man that gets rebirthed and reborn is created in the image of Jesus. And it is the seed. It is. Your spirit man is in the exact image through the seed of God. You are God's seed. That part of you is God's seed, totally. Your soul's not. It's being worked on. Your body's not. It's being worked on. But your spirit man, totally seed. So that's the part of you that knows things. And when you know things, you do spontaneously. All of a sudden, I just know things. Like sometimes, you know, I pray for you, and you probably pray for others. Sometimes you just, all of a sudden, you just kind of know something. You know, it doesn't always happen. But when it happens, I go, man, like, you know it. You talk, is that right? Is this right? And you say what you know. Out of the blue, you don't know what came from spontaneously, right? And he's like, oh, my God, what is that? That's your spirit, man. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. But your spirit, man, and the Holy Spirit are just best buddies. Best buddies. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Our spirit man is just like best friends with Jesus. And they talk and yak and it is connected and he's seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so, Lord, I thank you for my brother God tonight that you are showing him that spontaneous part of him and how that works so that he can connect to it in ways that he never has before. Yeah. So you know that what the spontaneous thing is. The spontaneous thing is the part of you that knows which way to go. It knows what thing to invest in. It knows what's happening. And we learn how to, you know, do the knowing part instead of a, you know, let's try to figure it out thing. The figured out thing is our soul. And the spirit man is the knowing. Yeah. But Chris, the knower, you know, the knowing, the one who knows. Because your spirit man, when your spirit man rules your life, you find yourself doing things more out of spontaneous knowing than you do out of, let's see, now do I do this or do I do that? Which one do I do? Your spirit man already knows. There is no guessing with our spirit man. Our spirit man goes, yep, that. Just like Jesus, he walked everywhere he went. He knew everything. Why? Because his spirit man ruled him. Right? It ruled his mind, ruled his body, his spirit man. Because his spirit man was seated, if you will, in heavenly place with the Father. And he had that knowing. So the more your spirit man gets in control, the more the knower knows, and then your soul and your mind just kind of go, oh, I see, okay. Because your spirit man knows. I have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. God's really going to open you up to that for the spontaneous purposes of just knowing. Yeah, the knowing realm. So open that up, God. I know you already closing that already. Open it up more, God. Increase it, multiply it. He'll just move in the knowing realm. Knowing moves quicker. The knowing realm doesn't have to spend time and stress of figuring things out. It just knows. Your spirit man tells your mind what to do. And then when that's working, then your mind is, if it's submissive, which my mind is not always submissive, but when it's able to hear and listen and do it, then you got unity. And the knowing thing becomes part of your whole life. Yeah, I know you already know that, but God's going to open it up for you more in a more beautiful way, in a powerful way. All right, for all kinds of realms, for miracles, for you know, doing the right thing, doing the thing God wants. Yep. Again, it's Jesus' name. All right. Bless you, Bill. All right. 828-989. You want to talk to the group, please?
Jennifer from North Carolina.
Okay, Jennifer. How are you, Jennifer? Okay, good day tonight. Hi, Jennifer from North Carolina. Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing, God. Thank you for the blessed hope. God, that the blessed hope. And thank you, Jesus. Let me see here. The blessed hope, Titus 2:13, that identifies the blessed hope as the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. So the blessed hope. So thank you, Jesus, that the blessed hope is kind of like, you know, death. We defy death because death can't hold us in fear. And sometimes we have, I think man's biggest battle and struggle is the fear of death. First time I met one of my best friends, he was at a home group meeting, and I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He came up to me and asked me if I'd pray for him to cure. I didn't know who he was. And I said, you have a fear of man. I mean, that you have a fear of death, the fear of death. It just so happened, it just happened to be the very thing he feared the most. And he said, man, you get that right on this. Because it's a big thing. Some people have it more than others, depending on what's going on. But the fear of death, the fear of, you know, of not being afraid of death, is the blessed hope. Right? Because when you have the blessed hope inside you, and you walk in that and live in that, you know, you don't fear anything. Christ is about that, you know, the blessed hope. So God's really going to minister to you about the fear of death, and if you have it a little bit or a lot, whatever the thing is, I don't know. God's really going to minister to that to you and show you how to. Maybe you don't realize that you deal with that. Like with me, I've had friends tell me prophetically, "Oh, there's some things God's trying to deal with. You think you've already dealt with." And I thought, well, what would that be? And then all of a sudden, boom, it happened, right? So there may be some things with the fear of death that God's going to help you conquer so that, you know, the enemy tries to use the fear of death to, because that's the eternal, that's a kind of a permanent thing, right? It's kind of like, oh, that's over, and they're gone, it's over for them. I hope they were this, I hope they were that. Yeah, the blessed hope is, you know, knowing that you're ready to pass over. If death comes your way, you're not afraid of it. If somebody tries to threaten you, if the devil tries to threaten you, you don't fear death. And the people who don't fear death, yes, are going to be people who God uses dramatically and powerfully, because the fear of death, the threat of death, is one of the things that the enemy uses in one form or another to get people to bow. You know, they may not deny Christ, but they will bow to, you know, the enemy and bow to the flesh. And because it really is... a thing that, you know, it's like 1 minute we're here, the next minute we're not. Like, who cares about that? A lot of people do. I'm going to, like, I don't know if I'm ready to pass on. You know, so So it's not about passing on. It's more about the fear of it and how the enemy uses it to mess with us. Really, really powerful. 828-989, you want to talk to your friend, please? 828-989, are you there?
Yes, this is Jennifer.
Sorry, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay, did you say somebody else or did you say Jennifer? Sorry, I missed that.
Jennifer.
Just Jennifer. I thought you said somebody else. Okay, Jennifer, God bless you. Thank you very much. All right, Jennifer, thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jennifer tonight, God. Thank you for that overcoming spirit. Thank you for that the power to a resurrection, knowing that that whatever's dead, whether it's the thought process, whether our love for something has died, whether, you know, our affection for someone has died, whether our, you know, it could be a friend, it could be, you know, a close loved one, whatever the thing is, whether our things in us have, you know, the enemy has, you know, done things to cause things to die inside of us, you know, whatever it is, and we need it, like unforgiveness can really do that when we get hurt, we get wounded. And so God is really going to show you the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, of how that even though some things, when they are dead, even though sometimes we give it up on some things, how that when God's ready, he can raise it up from the dead instantaneously in the right time, in the right place, prepared and ready. So I thank the Lord for the preparation. God, do you bring Jennifer into the place of being prepped and being ready for whatever comes her way, that whenever it comes her way, she won't freak out, she won't pass out, she won't, like, oh my God, what am I going to do, and freak out from it. She's going to be able to, you know, see it, look at it, and deal with it. See it, look at it, and deal with it. And instead of running or attacking, sometimes, you know, fear can cause us to run towards somebody, to attack them or attack the situation or run away from it. But faith, you know, has you stand still. So I see God showing you how to stand still in situations and not let, you know, the intimidation factor, like Goliath, in a sense, you know, get you to bow or to yield to the flesh and to yield to fear and to yield to whatever it is. And I thank you, Jesus, for that resurrection power in her, God, that whatever has, sometimes we give things over to God and we give them over to him, our vision. Sometimes it does die. Sometimes we do have things pass away, so to speak, kind of get out of our mind for a season. We don't really see them anymore. We don't really think about them anymore. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves thinking about them again. Like, okay, God, you're resurrecting something there? You want me to pray for this? You want me to deal with it? What's going on? Yeah, because when God's ready to resurrect something, whether it's a friendship or a thought about a friend or a thought about somebody or a thought about a business or a thought about a ministry or anointing, you know, he can resurrect that, because once we give it over to God, it's like, in a sense, it dies. Like Abraham giving up Isaac. In God's eyes, Isaac was dead, right? Even though Abraham never touched him, he was dead in God's eyes. So sometimes there's those things that we give over to God, like Abraham did, in a sacrifice to God, that, in a sense, that thing was dead, but yet God resurrected it, right? Yeah, that was the whole purpose of that. So thank you, Lord, for showing her that and opening her up to that realm of resurrection, God, in Jesus' name, from things that we give over to God. All right. 353-851. Want to talk to you, son, please?
Hey, Randy, it's your brother Tony from Ireland.
Hey, my brother. Hey, good to have you tonight. All right. Nice prayer night. We don't talk on Wednesday, so good to really have you, brother. Maybe we can call us tonight. We can visit a little bit. My brother from Ireland, Tony, thank you, Jesus, for my brother. Thank you, Lord, for you know, the past things, God, that sometimes, you know, in order for the past to pass away, we have to, you know, like Jesus had to come and die on the cross for the old things to pass away, right? Sometimes we go through a hard time, we go through a struggle, and we kind of, you know, give things to God, and we, you know, we finish something God had us do so that thing can pass away and we enter into something new. Like when the children of Israel passed over into the Jordan, passed over the Jordan into the promised land, you know, even though they had more battles to go through, that was a 40-year thing. They got kind of like a major delay going on that got broken. And so I see God breaking some major delays and bringing you through into some promises in Jesus' name, opening up that for your that have been delinquent, things that have been delinquent. God is dealing with things that have been delinquent and making them accessible and available and bringing them where they're, you know, things are paid for and taken care of. They're dealt with. And, yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for the old things that pass away. Sometimes the old things can't pass away, like I said earlier, until we have to deal with them. Somebody has to go deal with some, certain stuff. And, you know, what's happening with me is, you know, I've been through some difficult things in the last year or so. And so God has it kind of all came to a close, not every bit of it, but for the most part, for some reason, spiritually, it came to pass. And God just started moving me on. I don't. It's like I woke up one day going, "Wow, what happened? Where have I been?" And so sometimes we get into something, and when we finish it, you know, that thing is finished. God says it's finished, and it's put behind us. Then we wake up. It's like waking up one day going, "Wow, what am I doing now?" And we wake up into something new with new desires, you know, things we have been wanting to do. All of a sudden, we find ourselves having the power and the courage and the strength to do them. Right, where we don't sit back and it's like we have been like, I can't figure out why I can't seem to get that done, right? Because it's for the maybe the timing, maybe whatever it is, maybe we haven't dealt with some stuff, maybe God hasn't dealt with some things. Sometimes it's not always about us dealing with things, sometimes it's about God dealing with something. And when he gets finished, you know, he says, hey, time to move on. That's over with, that's done. As far as that process, the whole situation may not be developed in the natural realm, but with between you and God, that's over with, that's in the past now. And when that's passed, then we can move on. Amen. Thank you both for blessing my brother, giving him courage and strength, God, to stand up and speak that which is truth, and believe you, God, for the miracles that need to happen in his heart, to believe you completely and fully in every area. Amen. Some things are going to start coming to fruition that you've struggled with and battled with that you believe God for, but you just didn't quite activate them. That's going to start happening. Amen. All right. Thank you. All right, my brother from Ireland. Goodbye. All right, 903-808. Can we talk to your friend, please?
Yeah, this is Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie.
From Texas.
Jeannie from Texas. There, she beat me to it. I was going to tell her. Yeah, Jeannie from Texas. All right, Jeannie is one of our hosts on Mondays. So thank you, Lord. Her and Hollis have been kind of going through a time. Hollis had a little thing on his bladder, and they took it off and think it's going to be pretty good. They're going up and down on things and going through stuff, so pray for them. We thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Jesus, God, that you you know, it's like I see you standing on top of a hill and looking up kind of a little hill area and looking out over the land, going like seeing a new horizon, seeing something new, beginning to, you know, because you're up. I don't know, because up a little higher and you're able to see more around you or something. I don't know what that is, but seeing a new horizon, something new around the corner, something new, you know, on its way. And, yeah, so that's kind of unusual, but being in your situation that you're in. So we thank you both for that, that God, you have, maybe that's what it is when we stand on the hill of the Lord, that we're able to see things clearer and better. And, get a broader view, it's like sometimes we go through a valley, and valleys are important, but when we get out of that valley, we get up on a hilltop, on a mountaintop or whatever, and we're able to see. Like I see you just like taking a deep breath and, wow, I can see further. I feel like I got more room. I feel like I have, you know, I don't know, more space or something. I'm not sure what that means exactly. You don't feel, you know, locked up in you know, in a valley, you're like you come through that valley and you are able to see things from a whole new perspective. And, kind of like, you know, like, wow, like a new day dawning upon you. So I thank you, Jesus, for that and for the new days dawning. God, we thank you, Lord, for the battles that we go through, and the things and the work that you do in us in those battles, God, that you're doing a great work in Jeannie. God, as she battles through with her husband, with Hollis and all the things he's going through. God, that it's a transfer of wealth of information. It's a transfer of wealth of favor. It's a transfer of wealth of your peace, God, that you give supernaturally, that we can't understand why we have peace, but we just have peace. It's a supernatural thing. Jesus had peace in the midst of the storm. He slept on a pillow. And according to the disciples, the whole world was falling apart, right? They didn't, and they're sleeping on a pillow. And so I see your faith being able to do that, through this process going through now. God's going to cause your faith to go into that place where you can sleep in the midst of a storm. I mean, have peace and rest and know that you're going to make it to the other side. And, right? So, yeah. So it's going to help you to minister to people too, to be able to give them a little bit of different scope and look on things so they don't look at the narrow version. They look at, you know, they're able to see the more territory, the more open freedom and, you know, open spaces. And just, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that. And the peace of God, God, give her supernatural peace. And then as she goes through this thing, God, she's going to be able to rise up and speak peace to the storms of people's lives and when they need it. And like Jesus did with when he got up off the pillow and they said, you know, we're all going to die. Don't you care? They thought that they thought he was just being indifferent to them and didn't care. But the truth is, he didn't worry about any of it. He was sleeping, he was resting, and he felt safe in the arms of God. Right. So thank you, Jesus, for that with Jeannie, God, and this season she's going through, God. If she walks through this valley, God, she's going to come to a whole other place of being able to see things completely different. In a beautiful way, in more space, more time, more things being more easy to understand, and her faith level being able to calm the storms of other people just by simply saying, peace, be still, because you know God's going to take care of it. Amen. All right, 240-482. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie was with us last night on Zoom. Really good to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. God, we thank you, Lord, for that place of prospering her, God. She will see that you are the God who prospers. Everything's not about having to have such a tight budget and all this and that, but to be able to loosen her, God, where she can do the things to be free, have freedom to do what she wants to do, to have freedom to go where she wants to go, to have that freedom to be able to move about without feeling restricted and bound, that you bless her, God. You will prosper her, God, in Jesus' name, and mainly in her heart, maybe more in her faith, and instead of just, you know, that her faith will be, you know, it's expounded upon, and Jesus, where she can see the prosperity realm for her personal life, not just for other people, but see it for her, and see how you know, not knowing, maybe always not knowing exactly how it's going to happen or why it's going to happen, but the fact that God wants it to happen is all that matters. And when God wants something to happen, that's all that matters. We focus on what God wants to happen. And then as we do that, you know, it begins to choke out everything else. Amen? And all the things that try to hinder and stop, it chokes it out, and God begins to bring things in. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. And, or letting her faith become more easy to believe, more easy to understand, you know, why God wants to bless her in Jesus' name, and that she's just waiting for us, God is just waiting for us to know it, to believe it. And so thank you, Jesus, that she will know it and believe it like never before in Jesus' name, to confirm to her that she prosper and be in health even as her soul prospers. Jesus' name. Yeah. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Not just some gimmick money-making thing for preachers. It is literally the truth. And thank you, Lord, for that with her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Hang on a second here. I'll be right back. All right. Let's go here to 720-878. Can I talk to you, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Mike in Veronica.
Hey, y'all. Mike and Veronica? Okay. All right, good to have you guys tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Mike and Veronica. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion around God that, you know, when we go through things, you know, we go through stuff, we see that, you know, we go through hard times sometimes. And then when we do that, we have more compassion for people when we go through hard times. But thank you, Lord, for the for Mike, God, that strong compassion inside of him, of Christ, that understands, you know, sometimes we just go through hard times. It's not like we have a choice. It just happens. And that compassion inside of him, God, to rise up and be able to prophesy, you know, to people, speak to people, pray over people, that they will be able to, they're going to have a new dawning of a new day, or there's going to be something new that's going to happen to them. And speak to them about the new day. Speak about the give them something to look forward to. Speak into their life that thing that God has for them, that, you know, of a new day, of a dawning of a new day, in Jesus' name. And so they can see it and begin to. So it's not that it's like we're just saying things when it's from the Holy Spirit, you know. And for them, it, when you tell them those words, it opens them up to seeing it. And when they see it, they get hope. And when that happens, God rewards you. God rewards his servants for, especially when we pray over his people and feed his people the information that they need. When we feed them what they need, and then God blesses them, opens them up, then God goes, man, I'm going to take care of you because you're like taking care of my people. You take care of myself. You're taking care of things. So that's why we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things that added to it. And I thank you, Lord, for that very scripture, God, in Mike, that he begins to understand that thing of the key first thing, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things added to him, God, that he walks in that he lives in that, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for Veronica, God, that as she comes to agreement, Lord, that your word and obedience to your word is first above all on everything. That we find that, like the scripture that I gave to Mike just now, that everything begins to be added to us. And I think it works for the adding part, that you begin to add to her, God, add to her faith, add to her ability to believe, add to her confidence in you, God, add to her that understanding that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible, God, in Jesus' name. And that it's not just a dream, it's not just fantasy. That as she obeys you and what you tell her to do, God, that's what opens the door for that. That's what opens the door. It's what opens. The door is there. We have to knock on it, and when we knock on it, then God opens it. So obedience gets us through that door of obeying God, and then when we knock on that door, that's when our breakthrough comes. And I thank you, Lord, that all things are possible through Christ Jesus and Veronica. All things. I mean, that's everything. Every little detail of our life, your children, your grandchildren, your mommy, your daddy, your husband, your friend, whatever's going on, your money, everything, all things become possible in Jesus' name. And that you break down those walls, God, that cause where anxiety and stress try to come and say, well, you know, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I think you, Jesus, that she's breaking through in those areas more all the time and seeing that she has hope in you, that her hope is in you. And when you have your hope in God, it's not in vain. Amen. In Jesus' name. And the enemy tries to tell us sometimes, our hope is in vain. It's hope is in vain. Our hope is in vain. And it's a lie from hell. And God is breaking that off, and bringing the reality that your hope is in God. And when your hope is in God, all things become possible. All things become possible in Jesus' name. Yeah. All right. Moving to the future. Moving to the future. And then leaving behind you all those things that, you know, that the reasons why I can't be blessed, the reasons why, you know, I did this or I didn't do that. And God says, I'm wiping that out. I'm making the slate clean. He's just saying, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That opens the door. All right, 214-646, can I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also pray for Vincent and Zena?
Vincent and Zena?
Yes.
Vincent, okay, thank you. Yeah. All right, Vincent and Zena. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for Vincent and Zena. Let me write it down. Vincent. second here. Yeah, okay. There you go, thank you. I'm just writing it down. All right. That way, okay, there we go. All right, Vincent and Zena. Thank you, Lord, for Vincent and Zena. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the power of agreement and the power of disagreement. Sometimes we have to come into agreement with people. Sometimes we have to come into disagreement with them and to come out of agreement with things. I thank you, Lord, for Vincent and Zena. I mean, both of them, I'm not sure exactly, but to come out of agreement with things and to come into agreement with the right thing and come out of agreement with the wrong thing. Because if we don't come out of agreement with the wrong thing, those wrong things begin to become a harvest for us, right? Once they start coming in and we don't repent or stop or whatever and get it right, then we start having the harvest. And when the harvest comes, then you know, if it's a good harvest, it's awesome. If it's not a good harvest, it's not good. But thank you, Lord, for the whole weeping and sowing realm, God, that we can understand that, if we plant good seeds, you know, a good harvest, we're going to have a good harvest. If we plant bad seeds, we're going to have a bad harvest. So how do we stop that? We stop doing the bad things. We stop planting the bad seeds. We start planting good seeds. We start doing good things instead of negative things and bad, because those things, everything we do is a seed. Vincent was saying, everything we do is a seed. Everything we do is a seed. So whatever we're doing, you can guarantee that's going to grow up into something that's going to come back on you. So if it's good, it's awesome. If it's not good, it's not going to be good. Thank you, Lord, for Vincent, God, for teaching him that in Jesus' name and letting him know that. That's important to focus on whatever's pure and lovely and just and right. In Jesus' name, Lord, for Zena, God, I think for Zena, God, that you call her to deliverance, to be delivered, the spirit of deliverance. God, that you deliver us in many different ways. Sometimes you deliver us from demons. Sometimes you deliver us from people. Sometimes you deliver us from ourselves. And I thank you, Lord, for all the different rounds of deliverance for Zena, God, that you want to help and approach her with, God, in Jesus' name, that from the misery of just of not being delivered. And I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of deliverance coming in Jesus' name, the spirit of deliverance, and that she will receive it, that she will acknowledge it, that she will open herself up to it, God, so you can do it completely in Jesus' name and turn all things around. Lord, when her harvest becomes a harvest of from repentance and from, you know, I changed the way I did things. I was doing this way, now I did it that way. And when we change it, it stops the harvest, you know, from the old, and it starts the harvest of the new. And, the reaping of things. That's what we think we're fighting demons and all that, when many times we're just reaping a harvest. Sometimes we can't figure out why God's blessed us. Well, because we've been planting good seed. So, in Jesus' name, open it up for them right now. Amen. For Terrence and Tanisha, God, we thank you, Lord, for all the seed they planted. And the harvest time, God, that's just, you know, here. It's here. It's harvest time. And harvesting souls, harvesting information, harvesting finances, harvesting favor, harvesting, everything, palm worm and tank worm, like it talks about in Scripture. That those things be, you know, restored in Jesus' name for the spirit of restoration, because God, they've been restoring others, working on restoring things with others, and God, because of that, they're going to reap the restoration process also. But I think of also that restoration process in Jesus' name, that it develops in their life, and they begin to catch the wind of it, like they put their sails up, like putting your sails up and catching the wind. You know, if you don't put your sails up, you're going to be having to row the boat yourself. You put the sails up, then the wind catches you, and the Holy Spirit does it. And it begins to, you know, take you along, all because you got your sails up. Well, I thank you, Lord, for their prayer life. I thank you for their getting their sails up, God, where they can just catch that wind. They don't have to work and labor real hard at it. It's just real easy. They throw up the sails, and the wind, you know, catches the sail, and takes them wherever they want to go. Less stress, less frustration, less work, and less spending less energy on things, getting things done faster, the whole thing, and easier. Because the wind, we put up our sails, our prayers. Sails, I think, in this particular case, one of the things it represents is the fact that you're prayer life and catching the wind. Prayer is catching the wind of God. It's not just telling God what to do, you know, or asking God what to do, but it is a receiving, and able to receive and catch the flow of the wind. And when the wind blows, then we guide the rudder with our mouth, with our heart, with our belief system, and the wind blows. Amen. And then we end up in the right place at the right time and with a lot less sweat and not so wore out like other people would have to row their boats because they didn't know how to get this. They didn't know how to pray. They didn't know how to believe God. So they're having to row their boats all the way, you know, but when you catch the wind, it just takes you there faster and easier. Thank you, Lord, for that whole realm for them in Jesus' name. All right. 251-229. Who am I talking to you from, please? Chicota, my dijo. All right, yeah, Sarah. All right, let's look at Sarah. Oops. All right, thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that that the things that she stresses about and that she worries about, God, just show her that as she casts those cares upon you and then just walks away from trying to figure out herself, that you're going to, you know, work those things out. You're going to give her ideas. You're going to give her guidance. You're going to give her permission. Like I see God giving you permission to do things. Like before, you didn't have permission, but now he's going to give you permission. I don't know. It's like I think it's kind of a trust thing with God where we get permission from God. And when you get permission from God, you know, you bind and loosen. You have the power and authority to take authority over things. You have God's permission to do it, right? So permission is everything. If God, all things are possible, but we've got to wait for God's permission to do it. So sometimes he's working on something that takes a little bit longer than we think, and then we have to wait for permission to go ahead and take that thing or do that thing or get that thing. So thank you, Lord, for that permission realm that she's finding. She's learning how to get your permission to Jesus. Said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father did. You know, so you have permission from the Father. You have agreement with the Father on everything. And that's what we're learning how to do is come into agreement or permission in the permission realm. God says, okay, go do it now. You know, sometimes Paul the Apostle would try to go somewhere and he was hindered by Satan to go until he had to go later. And sometimes, you know, it wasn't time to go. So he said, you know, so there's the permission realm of God, and there's the timing realm of God. God's showing the permission realm and the timing realm of how to, sometimes the Bible says, wait. What is waiting? It's time. Time. Wait and see. You know? Seeking you shall find. It takes time. It's a time thing. It's about our obedience. When we obey God, you know, it's like getting up and you got to walk 3 miles. And the sooner you get up and you go and you obey to do it, the sooner you get there, right? If you wait, it doesn't matter. It's going to take you a certain amount of time to walk that 3 miles. So thank you, Jesus, for showing her about timing and obedience and that our obedience has a lot to do with the timing. The children of Israel walked around the wilderness for 40 years, right? That's a lot of time. And they never actually got out. Why? Because they just totally did disobedience. But as Sarah walks in obedience, God is going to show her that it has to do with timing. Obedience and timing are highly connected. The more we obey, the sooner we get there. Right? Yeah. All right. All right, 912-339. You want to talk to where you're from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. Angela Joy, Georgia.
Oh, hey, Angela. All right. Angela, we talked about her last night and her mama having her when she was 45 years old. That was amazing. I thought about that today, and I was thinking about that going like, and you said your mama had anxiety attack or something, or some stress, something going on with that, major stress thing. She probably went, oh, my God, I'm 45 and I've got to raise a new baby. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine being 45 and thinking, I got a little bitty baby on my hands, and it's going to, you know, in 5 years, she's going to be 5 years old, and I'm going to be 50. She can be five. I can imagine what that was. It's a blessing, but at the same time, you're going like the responsibility. I had to do a number on her anyway. So something about that. So thank you, Jesus, for answering the door, God, that she wasn't born too late. She was born for such a time as this. God, that she began to see Jacob. Who had, had Joseph in his latter days. Yeah, just Angela, just laugh out loud, yeah. So, you know, Abraham had, Jacob had the Joseph and Benjamin in his latter years, you know. And he also had, Abraham had Isaac when he was a lot older, right? So, in that sense, you know, he became the special child. He became the child that later on he had to offer up to God, right? He became the child that was like, you know, likened under Christ because of the Father offering the Son. And so I think it was that thing with her, God, that she was, that her mother was older. You know, Abraham was like, 99, something like that, when he had... Isaac, was it 99, 75? 75. Yeah, maybe 75. I can't even remember what the age was, but it was on up there. So think of a promised child, that child being born in the latter days of his life was just a proof that, you know, that it was the promised child. And I think of all the promises you've given her, God, that she walks in that she learns to live and that she's a promised child. She is a child of promise, not a child of law, not a child of legalism, not a child of, you know, you better do all the right things or else. It's a matter of a child of promise, knowing that God is, like Abraham, Jacob, is spoiled, in a sense, spoiled Joseph, and probably Benjamin did. You know, he put it, getting him a coat, he made him feel special. And it caused him a lot of problems because, you know, people didn't like the fact that his father was, you know, treating Joseph, you know, with a special favor. And it created jealousy and problems and all kinds of things. So I think it worked for my sister, God, that she will see that sometimes, you know, when we have favor of God in our life, it causes problems. You know, things get stirred up. And, people get mad. People get upset. And we don't understand that, what's going on with all that. But, Lord, I thank you that also like Joseph, also later in his life, when he became the ruler of Egypt, along with Pharaoh, that he, you know, when it came time to family and all that, you know, the people that had treated him wrong and done him bad, he turned around and blessed him. He turned around and became like a father to them, to his own brother. And he saved him, actually, is what he did. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Saving promise power in Angela, God, to be used this time and this day, God, to save people, to find provision for them, to know that they that the favor on her life, God, is for one thing, and that's not only to bless her, but it is to bless others and to give them a place for like Joseph did with his brothers who had betrayed him and denied him and lied and done all that thing. I mean, his father believed he was dead because of an animal for years because of what they set up and lied and conspired. Yeah, and yet he saw it as what they meant for evil, God meant it for good. Turned his whole life around. And I thank you, Jesus, for that promise level of thinking. When we think in the promise realm, that's what we think of. We think of like how Joseph thought. He said, what you guys did meant for evil, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. That's what a promised person thinks about. Satan meant for evil, or for people meant for evil, God means it for good. Because that's where they become the promised person. If they think differently, saying, I thank you both for that her and opening her up to that God and blessing her and letting her think like a promised child, like she is. Amen. All right. 480-795, who want to talk to the room, please?
Hey, Randy.
Yep. Hey.
Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. All right. Good day, Greg. All right. Thank you, Lord, that for the Father inside of him, God, for the Father in him, that he will not be, he's going to find himself thinking like a father, being a father, wanting to be a father, like we just talked about Joseph. Joseph was, ended up being like, even though he was the youngest brother, he ended up being like a father for them. He provided for them. He opened up doors for them. He gave them a place to live, a place to be. He was like a father. So I think, God, for the father inside of Greg, God, that you will raise that up, that you will nurture that and cause that to be a blessing to him, God. And so that he will realize that, you called him to be a father and to have people that he, fathers always think about making sure that their children are provided for, that they're helped, that they get what they need. And he tells them things that they don't want to hear sometimes when they reject wisdom and knowledge. God, you use Greg to give people wisdom and knowledge about things like a father would. And whether they're younger, older, it doesn't make a difference. But a father thinks about your future, because the fathers know, they've been through life. They know that sometimes the future doesn't always just come real easy. You have to expect, have ups and downs. And learn not to get stuck in things. Learn how to flow through things and just keep going. And teach people how to be flexible and not get destroyed when something goes wrong. They just all fall apart, but they're flexible. They're able to get hit and move on. That's what fathers do. They teach their children that. And I thank you both for that thing that you teach him as his Heavenly Father, God, that you're teaching Greg those things, God, so he can teach them to other people. Give them wisdom when they need it. And like a father. I think you think like a father, like a father, like a father, like a father. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 915-929, you want to talk to what you from, please?
It's Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. All right, Carmen, good day. All right, thank you for Carmen. Thank you both for that delivery system, God, that ability to pass the knowledge on, to pass the thing on, to pass the inheritance, to pass the money, or whatever the thing is, to be able to pass things on. When God calls us to, pass things on, like Abraham, passed things on to his children, Isaac passed things on to his children. But the promised people always realize that there's a future, and that future is, people need the blessing to connect. So I think, Lord, however you have her do that, God, to pass things on, to be able to pass the blessing on. And that doesn't mean that, we're dying and we're going to pass things on. It's a gift of God. Things that people have missed in their life that maybe their parents, my father, my dad never really blessed me as far as like a father would. And I feel like that, God had to bring other people to pass that on to me. There's things that children and daughters and sons have not had, and they need somebody who can, like a mother or father figure, to pass things on to them, to bless them. I remember, years ago I used to watch Daystar Network, and that was, John Hagee. I don't really like John Hagee's teachings on a lot of things, but as a father in the spirit, he would get on TV and he would pass that fatherly blessing down to people and pass on things that people, that their father never blessed them, their mother never blessed them, and to use their God to pass things on. And the more you do that, the more you walk in that, God's going to bless you in many ways. So you can pass, sometimes people need money. You're going to be able to pass money to you know, God's going to provide it for you. And he says, I want you to pass this on, because when you become the pass on person, then he can get it to you and get it through you. He'll get it to you. If he can get it through you, get it to you. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah. Amen. The things that are lacking in people's lives, they need someone that can speak the word of God over them and can pass things on to them that belong to them from God. But maybe nobody taught them about certain things. They never got it passed on to them. God using you to pass them, say, you know, this comes from the Father. This is your inheritance from God. This is what Jesus did for you. And pass on information from the gospel, that things that people haven't gotten. When they get in certain religions, they don't hear what God has passed on to them. They just hear nothing. But what has God passed on to them? What does God want us to receive? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that what you see it in their lives is powerful. And God does the same thing to us. When we preach the gospel, we're sent and we pass the blessings of God on the people. Amen. Passing things on, passing. If God can get it through you, he can get it to you. That's not my saying, somebody else's saying, but it's really cool. All right, 919-426, can I talk to you, come, please?
Destiny for North Carolina.
Hey, Destiny. All right. Just to get here tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Destiny. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the power of wealth, the power of blessing God, the power of knowing, the power of the seed. When we plant seeds of hope in people, it comes back to us. When we plant seeds of faith in people, it comes back to us. When we plant seeds of favor, it comes back to us. Right? So we find that if I give favor away, I get favor. If I give things, bless people with things that they don't deserve, because God is telling me to do it, you know, and show them his undeserved favor. You know, God's really called you to that realm of undeserved favor, because you know about that. You know that, you know your need for it. You know that when you walk in it, what a blessing it is to have that undeserved favor from God. And so thank you, Jesus, for that undeserved favor, God, that you use her to, give that to people, to give your grace, the grace giver, the unmerited, undeserved favor. Because most people think they got to work everything, deserve everything and all that. And God Almighty saved us. We didn't deserve any of it. There was nothing we did to be able to get it. And yet God gave it to us anyway. He sent his son and died on the cross, not knowing whether people would receive it or not, right? He did it freely. He did it because, there was not buying it. It was unmerited, undeserved favor. God, and that you give Destiny that ability to speak that into people's lives and be that to people at a whole new level, God. If you're giving unmerited, undeserved favor and showing them the very nature of God, it's not about how hard you work. It's about knowing your Father, about knowing your Daddy, about knowing who he is. Amen. And that he knows that human beings have fallen short of the glory because their great, 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 great fathers and mothers, Adam and Eve, sinned and failed. Right. So he's come now. Jesus has now come to not judge and condemn and tear down. He's come to recreate and give new lives, new blood, new genetic codes, new hope for the future. Amen. In Jesus' name. And God, he's going to show you how to focus on that, about the genetic realm, why Jesus shed his blood, his DNA, for us, is so that we can have new DNA. If we get to heaven, if we don't have the blood of Jesus in us, it's not about our works. It's about what? One thing. It's about having his seed. His seed produces what? His bloodline. You got his bloodline, that's how you get into heaven, is by the bloodline of Jesus. Well, being born again is getting the bloodline of Jesus, the seed of Christ in you. The seed brings forth the DNA, blood, the identification of your blood tells who you are. Identification of being born again by the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, and getting the blood of Christ flowing through your veins, spiritually, is our identification with getting into heaven. I don't know how many works we did and all that. It's when we've got what blood we have. What seed are we? Yeah, not by how much you work or labor. All right, 610-969. Can we talk to you, friend, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy.
Yes. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa from PA. I'm calling to request prayer for Pierre, for Devante as well.
Okay, Devante, and then you. Okay, awesome, great, thank you very much. All right, thank you, Lord, for Devante. Lord, we thank for Devante, God, that once we see and understand that things are in the bloodline, and I know we talk about this a lot, but it's something that really isn't understood yet, and God's keep showing me this, that when Noah was righteous, it's because his bloodline was righteous, because not because he was doing a bunch of good things, because it was the bloodline. So I thank you, Lord, that all the problems that we have, it makes it harder for us to do righteous thing or the right thing because we have the wrong blood. You know, we have the wrong DNA. The more we accept the blood of Christ, the more we walk in it, the more we see that we all of a sudden, we just want to do the right thing. When I got born again and I got truly created, the blood of Jesus got put in me and I got new DNA, you know, to a certain degree. Oh, my gosh. I just desired to do all the right things. I wasn't trying to do it because I had to do it. I wanted to do it. Why? Because my blood had changed. So we thank you, Lord, that when we start understanding it's about the blood, it's about the DNA, it's about the genetic code, but all that Jesus gave on the cross of Calvary, drink my blood, eat my flesh. It is about, you know, knowing that exchange of our defiled, iniquitous DNA that we all have from Adam and Eve. And specifically from our fathers and mothers, we thank you, Lord, that we understand that that's why people have those certain weaknesses and issues. Not because they're bad people. It's not because they're, you know, some horrible person. No, when they came out of the womb, they're the most precious, innocent, beautiful, wonderful people. When they grow up, it's when those genetic things kick in. So we know it's genetic. We know it's the blood, and it causes them to be weak to yield to certain things, right? And what are we blaming it on? The blood, yeah, they shouldn't be yielded to it, but they do because that's what we did, and so we start seeing that we take the condemnation off of them and give them a little hope that, and in our prayer to pray that change happens, through pleading the blood of Jesus over my brother God in Jesus' name, pleading the blood, and declaring the greed in his life that he is forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Even things that he doesn't think he wants to get forgiven sin. When you get your blood changed, all of a sudden you go from, yeah, I wanted to do that yesterday. How come I don't want to do it today? The blood. I declare the blood. My little daughter, when she was like little bitty, went to the doctor, had little red spots all over her chest. It was thick and heavy and like, you know, going to take weeks to get rid of once you get the medication. I prayed the blood of Jesus over her for about 30 minutes, and they literally were gone the next morning. They were all shocked. You know? And so, Lord, I thank you that my sister Del, thank you that she pleads the blood over her son, God, and cleanses him and washes him from those things, knowing that it's not because he's, you know, good or bad or whatever. And he's a human being. He has blood that causes him to want to do certain things. So I thank you, Jesus, for that blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. But we thank you, Lord, for that blood, for the blood realm, for the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, that forgives, that washes away. Hallelujah. Do it, man. I felt the anointing doing it. In Jesus' name, wash it away, God, and give him new blood with new desire. Your life is in the blood. Your desires, your passions are in your blood. Noah was righteous because of his blood, not because he was out doing great things. He was doing great things because of his blood, not because he was a great guy. He was great. He was a righteous person because of blood. Because his blood wasn't defiled like the others. Yeah, we got to really see that. It opens up our whole life to understanding people, why they do what they do. That way, we don't judge them so, you know, unrighteously. And we see them how Jesus saw them. Amen. I didn't come to judge. I came to give them new DNA, new genes. Amen. Get a new pair of genes. New pair of genes for that boy. Hallelujah. All right. For my sister Lisa tonight, God, we thank you, Lord, for her life, for her love, God, that you want her satisfied. You called her. She has a great, deep passion to be satisfied. And, you know, from God, God has made us all to be satisfied. And I thank you, Jesus, that you want her not coming short of being satisfied in all areas. That's your purpose, and it is your will for that to be done. So, Lord, I thank you for satisfying her. A spirit, soul, body, her life, her knowing that she can love herself. Like I think I've talked about this on the show. Maybe you listened, maybe you didn't, but able to hear that. But I'm talking about how I drive down the road now for the first time ever in my life. And I'm telling God how I love my new self. Yeah, the last few months, it's like, what is going on? Even more so, I'm finding myself loving my new self. I'm not perfect by any means. Dear God, that would be nice. But it's like the blood. I don't know what it is. Something's happening. And it's like I'm loving myself. I'm truly loving myself for the first time. And telling God, man, I love the new me, Jesus. Thank you for this. Whatever you're doing, I don't know, but I'm loving it. And I'm learning to love myself. And it's been a whole new thing. And I know it's that bloodline thing. I've been talking about it for a few years. But it's been working little by little. And now I'm beginning to, if you don't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? If you don't love yourself, you're going to be mean to yourself. You're going to do things to yourself that are not good. You're going to destroy yourself, maybe a little bit at a time. Right? Because if we don't love ourselves, we have to live with ourselves every day. We don't have to live with other people. We can live with ourselves. And if you don't love yourself, yeah, it causes you to be unsatisfied. Loving yourself is the most satisfying thing in the world. Amen, God. Thank you for that with my sister, God. Intensely, passionately loving herself, God, like God loves her. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lisa. All right. God bless you. All right. 608-960. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Shannon.
Oh, hey, Shannon. All right, thank you, Lord, for Shannon tonight, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. I'm just into the blood thing right now. So thank you, Lord, for my brother. Thank you, Jesus. He's a blood brother. I think that's for the blood, and not the blood of bulls and goats, not the blood of anything else, of virgins, or the blood of Jesus. I think I speak to your spinal cord. I speak to your nervous system in Jesus' name, and I speak peace to it. Especially in your back, in your middle back area, maybe. I don't know if it's a nerve thing or I don't know what that is, but nerve endings or something. I just speak to that. I speak peace to that right now in Jesus' name. Be made whole by the blood of Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that your blood was shed so that man's, the things that we have problems with, that the iniquities in our blood will be cleansed by the pure blood of Jesus. That when your blood gets in us and cleanses us and washes us, makes us clean. It means that we don't have those same problems. Even our body lines up. Why? Because our blood lines up. When your blood lines up, your blood, your life's in the blood. How your body is health-wise is in the life of the blood. Your life is in the blood. So if your blood's healthy, yeah. So I thank you, Lord, for that blood, Jesus, and for that whole thing with him. For the blood of Jesus on my... for my brother, God, for his heart to be strengthened, God, we pray for the blood of Jesus over his heart, God, that Shannon's heart will be strengthened, God, and it will be renewed and opened up to a whole new place of freedom, God, in Jesus' name, and liberty, that his heart can soar like an eagle, that he will know that his heart is not heavy, but it's light, amen, in Jesus' name, for your burden, your yoke is easy, and your burden is light. When our burdens get heavy, Shannon, I know what it does. It messes with our heart, and that's what happens. And so I think that Jesus, that you're releasing him from those burdens by your precious blood. I take authority over every burden that would be upon his spirit, his soul. God, I rebuke you and Satan in Jesus' name. I release the glory of God in his life, God, where he will live in the blood, flow in the blood, understand the blood. The blood of Jesus speaks, and it says, peace be still. It says, you're healed, you're delivered. It says, you're forgiven, you're loved. You're the child of your father. That's what the blood says. The blood cries out and says, you're your son's father. You're the father. God is your father. Because of your bloodline. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Open, God, right now. The power of God. Open up and bless his heart. Strengthen his heart, Jesus. Amen. And give him that his faith becomes strong, God, in your blood, Jesus. Hallelujah. That cleanses away stress, anxiety, infirmities, breaks connections with anything that tries to come upon us that's not God. Amen. That's the will of man for others. It's not necessarily the will of God for us. But thank the Lord that those who pray their will on him, God, that will be broken off and they will understand the will of the Father. Amen. In Jesus' name. And Shannon will have that new heart, God, giving him a new heart. A new heart to believe. A new heart to receive. A new heart to be blessed, God, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right. All right. That's my last call with my hand up. So get your hand up there. I'll be right back. All right. That was my last call with my hand up. So if you need ministry tonight, get your hand up there. And here we go. All right. Great. All right, 720-819, we're going to talk to you.
Jeff and Uke, Nevada.
Hey, you guys. All right, man, good to have you. All right, thank you both for Jeff and Uke. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the combination of how to combine things together, like how to, you know, combine this with that. And sometimes God allows things to be mixed together. Sometimes he allows things to mix, and sometimes he doesn't. And in getting things back to the pure thing of, you know, like even spiritually with our doctrine, you know, not mixing this doctrine with that doctrine and come up with another doctrine, mixing this thing, this food with that food and come up with another food, mixing this animal with that animal, come up with another animal, you know, mixing things, this whole thing about mixing things, getting things back to the original pure position, because that's what God's going to bless. He's going to bless originality and purity. And so, so even though, you know, sometimes business may make a lot of money out of things that are impure, but God is in the process right now of restoring the things that are origin from him. And so that process is going to be very highly blessed. God's going to bless it. People are going to want it. They're going to realize that they're going to die without it type thing. You know, they're not going to be able to live without it. And the things that people can't live without, to find those things that people can't live without, and purify them and, you know, make them to where they are pure. And when things are pure, because the whole world is going toward pure, even though the opposite part of the world is going toward evil and going toward darkness and going toward, you know, in a sense, they think it's purity, but truly Christ and God, the King of God and the people of God and the globe, with those who care about being pure, are going to want to be pure, and they're going to realize that sickness and disease come from impurities. Impurities in this, impurities in that, whatever the impurity is. Impurities in our blood system, you know, cleansing the blood. All of it, the origin of things. Finding, asking God. God is saying to you, asking him for the origin of things. What's the origin of this? What's the basic chemical makeup of the thing that you made that feeds us, that takes care of us, that blesses us, that, you know, how the atmosphere works, how that, you know, oil works, how gas works, how water works, you know, how gold and the precious silver, going back to the things that last forever. The Bible says that there's going to come a time when, you know, things get burned up. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to be all burned up, you know. So but gold, silver, and, you know, and the precious stones are going to be, are not going to be able to be burned up. So he's going for the things. We're going for the things that can't be destroyed, that can't be corrupted, because they're pure. You know, I thank you for Jeff and you, God, learning how to draw nigh to you in the pure form of your origin of what you designed for marriage, for friendship, for love, for business, for a relationship, for the way we live, the way we eat, and getting back to that form of how God originated everything. And then we're going to automatically see people get healed, get fixed. We're going to find no diseases just don't come. And that whole thinking around God and finding ways to market that to where it can be, even the market side can be blessed. And thank you, Lord, for restoring health. Thank you, Lord, for restoring confidence in you, God, that you're doing that with Jeff and you, God, that you can find yourself seeking you for confidence in you. Trusting that it's not about trusting people, it's about trusting you. And when we trust you, you bring us the right people to trust in. You know, it's not about trusting people, because we trust people, we're going to be disappointed all the time. But when we trust in God, then God brings us the situation that the situation and the people that come can be trusted because God's involved in it. Right. It's just like, a prophet friend of mine told me once, the reason that they don't give books away, and it's because they can't trust the people to pay for them. Once they get you send them a book, they just told me this to my face. I mean, I can't believe it. The reason we don't give it away because you send it to them, and they're not going to send you the money. They're going to read the book, and they're not going to pay you. So you're going to be without money. I said, well, so I didn't really say anything to them, but I thought later, well, who are we trusting, God or people? Well, we trust God, then 300 people may not send you a penny, but you're going to find one person that'll send you $100,000. Oh, my God, this is amazing. And do more than pay for all those books because you trusted God. It's the same thing with everything else in our decision, trusting God and keeping our eyes on what's about God. If we trust people, we're going to go crazy. We trust in God. We believe in God. That's going to keep us straight and narrow, thinking right, keeping our mind clear, keeping us from, the wavering of fear of, oh, my God, people are just flaky. Yeah, they are. They can be real flaky at times. And so we thank the Lord for, it's not just about bringing us good people, but it's about teaching us how to trust you, knowing that you're going to take care of things. If 300 people don't bless us, then that one person who gets it, when God's willing to trust in God, then God's going to be maybe one person to do what 300 people didn't want to do or couldn't do and take care of business more than abundantly. Yeah. So then we trust in God or people. Yeah, we trust God, then we can trust the people that God brings, but it's not about trusting people first. That will destroy you. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And amen, the pure thing. Awesome. The pure, undefiled. God has cleaned up the earth. And so we need to partake of that cleansing. Okay. All right. Okay, let's see. We got 863-808. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight, God. We thank you for the graciousness, the grace of God, the graciousness. For a while, I would say the word graciousness. I don't know if that's even a word or not. The graciousness. That's Spanish. The graciousness of God. God, your grace. And the act of being gracious, Lord, that you've given her a heart to do that and to be gracious and, and to give your grace to people, your unmerited favor to people, to those that they just need to, they need a touch of grace. Sometimes just getting a touch of unmerited favor. Once we get a taste of that, we may not respect it and honor it for a long time. And then one day we wake up and realize, man, I got a taste of that graciousness of God. I want that. I want more of that. I want more of that. So they go. So that's what they do. So sometimes we plant a seed with people and give them graciousness, and they may not. They may, like Peter. When Peter got the revelation of Christ, that Jesus said, "Your Father, my Father, has given you that word, given you that revelation." He still denied Jesus, but later on, it because he got a taste of that, it kept him on track. It kept him, coming back to God, even when he fell apart, he came back to Jesus, right? So that graciousness, I think, is an act of being gracious, and how powerful that is. So when we find ourselves being gracious, we receive gracious. We give gracious, we receive grace. Let me look at that word here. I haven't looked up any words tonight. It's the first time. Let's see what we got. Graciousness. That's a word. Gracious. Of being kind, polite, and generous. Whoa. The quality of being kind, polite, and generous, especially to somebody of a lower social position. Yeah. So that's just one of your jobs. You already know that, but it's one of it's who you are. It's one of the things God's given you. And, like everybody, some people are more geared by God to give graciousness than other people are. Some people are more tough and staunch and some people. So everybody has a little bit different thing that they do. And that's one of the things God's called you to do. And I think you already know that. You talked about that a little bit before. And I thank you, Jesus, for the release of that her trust will be God. That when she's gracious because God has her doing it, and she's not dependent on people, whether people are going to be gracious back or not. The graciousness that she's going to receive is going to be from God. The favor she's going to receive is going to be from God. It's not necessarily a people thing, though it will come through people eventually, but it's God that gives it, right? We're not, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for that realm of graciousness, of the act of being, the quality of being kind, polite, and generous, especially to somebody of a lower social position. Yeah, and that's what Jesus did. He came, he lowered himself, and he came to all of us that were, just had nothing. And because of that, not everybody came back when he healed the lepers. Only one came back. He healed 10, one of them came back. Sometimes that's the way it is. But our eyes are on Jesus, our eyes are on God, because when we give that unmerited favor away, that kindness, that polite generosity, we're doing it as unto the Lord, right? I know you know that. But as we did unto the Lord's going to bring it back to us. Like I was sharing earlier, some prophet friend of mine, a lady, said, tell me why they don't give away books. She said, because you get stuff to people, too, when you give them it, they're probably not going to pay for it. They're going to forget about you. And they just keep the money. We lose. I said, well, I didn't really, like I said earlier, I didn't really say anything to her about it, but I thought about it later. Who you trust in, God? Does your stuff really have God in it or not? If it's got God in it, then give it away, and then God will be the one who brings it back to you. So you got 300 people who don't pay you for your book, right? You got one person who goes, my God, this is amazing. I'm going to give you like $100,000, which more than pays for, 300 books over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because you trust in God. So with this graciousness thing, as I know God's called you to do that, your expectation, I know, is coming from God, that God's going to bring it, God's going to bless it. It's not just going to be a thing that I'm going to wait for a person or people to be gracious back, but I'm going to keep doing it because God is telling me to do it, and God is going to be the one who brings it back to me his way. And when he does, bring it, like you said, with her, about her, 300 people may not do anything. They may not pay for that book, but that one person is going to go, oh, wow, man, this book really touched me. I'm going to really bless you. And then God did it, not people. She's right. It's hard to trust people when you give things away that they're going to come back and bless you. Jesus gave healing away to 10 lepers. Only one came back. That's the way it is. But also, right, and not people's. Because I've talked with a lot of people, and I've done this myself, where, it's easy to get, I get my eyes sometimes on people, you minister and minister and minister and minister and minister, and some people never give anything. But then you have one, two, three people that just give like crazy, when they can, and it makes up for all the other things. It's like, who do we have our eyes on? God, and trusting God, or we got our eyes on people that, oh, I minister to you, you owe me. I minister to you, I pray for you. I prophesied over you, and things happened, and you didn't. This same lady that I'm talking about, she had a real problem with people, quote, turning on her. I mean, I know personally, because she told me she wasn't a liar, and she's an honest person. People just would not remember her. And I'm thinking, no wonder why, because she, like most ministers of the gospel, the charismatic ones, at least, most of them, they do like her. They're not trusting God and the people. So they know they're not going to get they have to put a price tag on to get their money before they get the book away. Therefore, God can bless them. Same thing with being gracious, isn't it? All right. Randy Chandler has to keep his eyes on Jesus. If we have, a lot of people that, whatever reason, they don't do anything. Lots of them. I mean, Wednesday nights, I prophesied to, quite a few people every week. Sometimes, it doesn't matter. But so when I see, I'm going like, that person has given anything ever. Some have, some haven't. It doesn't really matter. It's about, what am I doing this for? The Lord or me? Or trying to get obligation from people to, you owe me. I try to keep my faith in God and believe God to bless me back however he chooses. And it keeps you from, like that one lady I'm talking about, that probably, she was bitter over that. I could tell she was bitter. I could see the bitterness on it. It wasn't bad, but it was like she had been burned a few times. And you know, dealing with that. So, I don't know. God is good. We're all learning. I think that same person I'm talking about is off the charts right now. I don't know. I don't think they've been doing good for a while. They try to act like they are, but I don't think they are. What do I know? All right. All right, I think it's my last caller tonight, so this is going to be it. 11:54. All right, you're going to raise your hand. We're going to move on. Call it a night tonight. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow night. I think that's it for tonight. All right, have a good one. Love you guys. Bye-bye.